Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Thursday night at the Speakeasy Cafe. We would like to invite you to take the stage for the Sound of Ink open mic poetry night. Now, let's get started. I want your ink in our ears.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Speakeasy Cafe open mic poetry show, The Sound of Ink. Very excited to be here tonight. We are having some pretty awesome issues right now with the show. If you're trying to get in on the call lines, please just keep trying, and it'll let you in eventually. All righty. Before we get started, I'd like to play a track for you. And let's see. We're going to go with Heart by Apollo Poetry. Or actually, let's listen to Rusty. That's another one of his. So, yeah, this is Rusty by Apollo Poetry. Here we go.
After they saw him approach a female, they nicknamed him Rusty. See, in high school, he was nothing more than a walking piñata. He would graduate with honors, but he never fought for his own honor. Some would blame it on the absence of his father. Others would say it was his mother's legs, because just like Rusty's mind, they were always open. You would think that someone like that would have no love left. There was no love felt just yet. But then the day came as if it was prophesied. I could have sworn that his eyes were a cigarette butt, the way that they lit up. Her real name was Fran, but he nicknamed her Fry, because just like the food, she was fast and he knew it wasn't good for him. But good old Rusty fell in love with Fry, but how could he stop the music while she's dancing with another guy? So they became just friends. F-R-I-E-N-D-S. His love for Fry ends. Friends. But if only he knew. That if only she knew. That for all those 365-day sessions of broken promises, he really loved her. Rusty spent years as a prisoner of half-painted walls, writing poetry hoping that it will guide him to that moment that he's been waiting for. But that moment turned into a day, turned into a year, turned into a lifetime. See, Rusty is now 70 years old. And as I'm sitting at this nursing home, I'm comparing my life to his. So I asked him, whatever happened to the woman that you loved? He just looked at me and said, drugs. Then he handed me a poem. A poem that was so deep that my eyes went into war, but my tears won. He said, tears. It's funny that the further they travel, the less that they become. See, she never knew that I loved her. But I knew that she loved me, and I asked him how. He said that that poem wasn't written by him. It was written by her, handed to him at her funeral. Then he looked at me and said, so if you love someone, you tell them now, because the end of your life can be now. So why are you still around? Go and change the world, because I never could. I just stood in front of the hourglass, watching the sand pour, covering my history, because I miss her so much. With a tear rolling down his eye, he said, just one touch, if only I had loved her, I could have saved her life. I could have saved her life. Then I grabbed his hand and he started trembling in fear, getting flashbacks of when he was my age and he had his whole life ahead of him. But what was ahead of him is now behind him. What he ran away from is now inside him. And together they're slowly dying. He said that his life was just a waste of life because he never saved a life. He wished he could have made it right. I told him what happened to her wasn't your fault. Being afraid is not a crime. And don't ever say you never saved a life, because after today, you just saved mine. After that conversation, 7 days passed, and then so did he, and they were back together at last. So now when I love with no fear. Now when I cry, I enjoy every tear, because if you don't, then why are you even here? Go and change the world, because I never could. Go and change the world, because I never could. Think about your life. Think about your decisions. Don't wait until you can look back at your life with no room to move forward. Today, you live for Rusty. Today, you live for love. Today, you live for yourself. Today, you live for the millions of people who died without their dreams coming true. But it's not too late for you. You're still alive. So go out there and grab it. And make a difference. Now let's listen to the voice of a beautiful woman who's no longer with us. As she sings to us from the other side, just close your eyes.
We can get the phone lines up and working. If you're trying to call in, just please keep trying. Remember, the number is 646-595-3965. All righty, and while we're there working on that, we'll see what you can do about getting some of you on as you're able to get onto the board. The next piece that I am going to play is by Epiphany, and it's called The Eclipse from her album Soulflower.
This is our eclipse. Eternity
is a very long forever, but I will wait even as each second apart splits me as 1,000 razor-like swords impale my heart. I can wait, my love, for the despair is only a momentary distraction, a mere fraction of what is to come. For when we lay, the deepness of you envelops me with such incredible intensity. It is what it is meant to be. Self-turidity all ablaze with the inescapable hunger for one another. Tasting, yes. Smelling, yes. Touching, yes. You are, oh yes, soft yet commanding, beckoning my spirit to join yours in our personal nirvana. Gazing upon me with half moon, half lie, half truth. But go ahead, go ahead and lie to me, I beg of you, because your body is full of honesty anyway, even when you try to deny what is laid upon your precious feet. You have your tail, a dead giveaway that resides in the burrows of your inside, surfacing only when the moon is wide and incandescent. And my sun descends, it is what we know, it is our eclipse. We meet and dance, a lover's dance, entranced with the knowledge of each other's every curve, of one another's body's sweetness on command. Interlocking hands, moist lifelines intertwine and clasp, reading our destinies through our palms. Pressed upon one another's, our future is certain and uncertain at the same time. I see my reflection in your eyes, I am your angel, eternally watching over you, bringing you into light. And this thing we have liquefies all doubt and insecurities, so I sleep on a clean conscience of a pillow each and every night. It is pure and simple, kismet. We uplift one another, feeding our souls two halves, making us whole. Driven by the mercy of the great universe, she wouldn't dare tear us from one another. Not now, not yet, not ever. I anxiously welcome your kisses, the ones that never touched my lips. For I know each night our eclipse is inevitable. Hugo once said that the clouds are the only birds that never sleep. I disagree, my dear celestial twin. We two never sleep, for we are filled with constant thoughts of one another, filled with the luster of the shining invisible. Carnality that seeps into my solar-filled days and your lunar-soaked nights. Yet, that is not all, see, for I belong to you, and you belong to me. And when you proclaimed it was official and tattooed your name on my heart, I was gone. If you never uttered another word, I would still be so satisfied. This is our story, the story of us. Let the pages turn as the wind carries us to our next chapter. And we'll go from there.
That was Miss Epiphany with The Eclipse from the album Soul Flower. Alrighty. Looks like we do have a couple of callers that have been able to get through. To give you an idea of what to expect tonight, if you guys are able to get on, we do take callers in the order that you call in. So listen for your telephone area code. That's how you know it's your turn to come on the air. When you do come on, make sure you tell us who you are so that your name is attached with your piece of work, and people listening to the archives will know who is reading. Alrighty, please keep your reads to about 4 minutes long, and when you are done, make sure that you have your URL ready to share with everybody. Also, remember that this is a mature-rated show, so that means absolutely anything goes with the exception of hardcore erotica. Everything else is just fine. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can get one of our callers on. We have a caller from area code 732. 732, are you with us?
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Wow, I'm the first one on. This is Dennis from New Jersey.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm all right. Taken by surprise, I'm the first one. Were you guys having trouble with your calls tonight or something?
We're having problems. I'm pretty sure it's problems with the phone lines. We're not able to get anyone on. They keep messaging me saying the line's not working. So it looks like there's some issues with the chat room as well. So we're just winging it. We'll see how long we can go and how far we can take it. Welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Well, it's probably going to take about as far as me, because as soon as I read, everyone's going to hang up.
No, they won't.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and, well, thanks for, I guess, me being the first one, you know, starting this off. All right. Yeah, I'm Dennis, in quotations, the heavy metal poet from New Jersey. Still battling this weather. I'm supposed to be, like, in the 50s on Saturday. I hope that happens. So looking forward to the heat wave.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I hope so, because everyone's been getting sick and stuff. I mean, I just lost my voice over the week. It just came back, so if I sound kind of funny, you know, kind of sorry about that, but guess
no,
I'm not sorry, because it helps me read more angry. See, there I go coughing again. All right, let me get these pieces. I've got two short pieces, if you don't mind. I never really write longer pieces. I don't know. It just kind of bores me after a while. I don't know, too wordy. I like to get shorter pieces in.
That's fine.
I appreciate it. All right, and this one is like if you were like sitting on your own, thinking about your thoughts and stuff, and just like kind of like close your eyes and just think about it. This is about somebody just pretty much thinking about, you know how like, you know, what should I say? Reactions are caused by your actions, and what can happen is all based upon how you live. All right. Sunset, wish, days, goodbye, whispers of wind blowing kisses, goodnight, awake to the rise of morning light, embrace life, to breathe another day, to live each if we're the last. Every step forward are imprints of your definition, self-evident as to the impact of your actions, causes, results of what your future will unfold. As sun sets over a clear sky of promise, horizon fades into darkness. Good night into the good night. Sleep, innocent. Sleep. End poem.
That was awesome. You're kind of muffled on that one, so I need to speak up on the next so we can hear you a little better.
Oh, speak up. Okay, let me get the phone out of my mouth. Hold on. Maybe that was a problem. I had the phone in my mouth. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now you sound awesome.
Because I took the speaker phone off, because I guess it's the phone. I got an old dinosaur phone. I guess it's the speaker right now. I guess it's kind of, that's what's muffling me. All right. I'm sorry about that. All right. This one is about my, I'm sorry. This one's about my dad. Let's see. One last look in memory. One last touch. So much it meant to shake his hand by his side. Grown up saying, Daddy, I can't wait to be a man, to grow up like him, strong and fearless. Keeping family together. Stubborn born, but happy and proud. Now to keep his legacy forever, a family as one, his memory alive, his thoughts seen through my eyes. Gone too soon, but not forgotten. Through my children, his name will survive. End poem.
That is amazing. When did you lose your dad?
Let me see. 2002.
Do you ever notice things your kids do that are just like he did? Things they'll do or say, or things that he passed on to you that you've passed on to them and remind you of him?
Kind of funny you say that, because we're all stubborn. I guess it runs in my family, definitely on my dad's side, yeah. Definitely, oh yeah, we're stubborn. Yeah, we gotta learn, we gotta find things out the hard way, but that's the fun of it, right?
Mm-hmm. It amazes me sometimes. I'll see my kids do something and it reminds me of my mom, or it reminds me of my grandma, or they do something that reminds me of something I used to do. And it's like, you know, we never really leave. We never truly leave, because everyone that we touch, we leave our fingerprints on them. And even after we're gone, those fingerprints stay. And, I mean, down to, you know, the way someone laughs, or little phrases they'll say, or things that they'll do. It's pretty amazing to me, the way that we leave ourselves imprinted on those who we leave behind.
I mean, we're getting there. I mean, I got two kids. They're both boys. One's 14, one's 3, going on 4. So, you know, give it time. I mean, I see myself through my dad, you know, telling them things what my dad would tell me, pretty much. They're defying me like how I did him, and, you know, just learn things the hard way, so. Awesome. But it's all through also, like, what we, like, I guess, talent. Like, my grandfather, because my dad's side of the family, they're all from Tennessee. My dad was the youngest out of 10 kids from Tennessee. And my grandfather used to whittle. He was at the World State Fair back in, like, 85, like, selling, like, he used to whittle canes out of, like, pieces of wood. Passed on that kind of talent to my dad. My dad became a carpenter. But yet he was into music. He liked his guitar playing. Passed it on to me. I write and I play my drums, and I know how to write music and compose and all that type of stuff. Now I'm trying to pass something on to my kids. My one son, I don't know, he's a video gamer. I'm trying to pass my drums on to my 3-year-old, but we'll see what happens with that.
What games does your son play?
I can't tell you. Come on, I'm like into Donkey Kong and Frogger, man. He's like into this stuff on the computer. I can't even tell you.
Was it Atari had Pong or Pog or Pong or something like that?
They had it all. I'm telling you, man. This is great. He'll put his headset on and talk to the same dude that he's killing, like, on his video game. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm blowing this guy's head off. I'm like, lovely. That's just great, I guess. But the kid's straight A student. He's smarter than me. He's great. I mean, I love him.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, unlike me, you know, not a straight A student. But, I couldn't tell you for the life of me what games he plays. But I did take him down to Red Bank over here by me. They had this retro arcade called Yestercades. Look it up, man. A few bucks, you get in. All the games are on free play. You got Frogger, Donkey Kong, they got Atari, Coleco. They got all these things, all these game systems from all our childhood hooked up to all these TVs. You can just go in there and go crazy. It's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. How fun would that be?
I'm in there for 20 minutes playing Moon Patrol. I'm like, wow. So, listen, all right.
Sweetie,
well,
you
guys,
tell everyone what's going on with you and how to find you and all that good stuff.
All right. I've been not reading this past week because, like I said, I lost my voice and just kind of feeling out of it. But I usually do read over at the Revolutionary Lounge on Tuesdays. That's in Toms River. Along with, you know, Greg Schwartz and Chris Rockwell that hosts it. And then I do the new place I'm into now is called the Green Planet Cafe. That's over in Point Pleasant. That's on Wednesdays. I do that open mic. Looking forward to the summer, you know, and who will have me next, you know. Pretty much just the two main spots I go read every week. Other than that, if you guys want to come find me on my site, I got that, facebook.com/crushedbeneathpoetry. I'm on that. That's my site there. And come find me over there. Say hello. And I got my the email, the crushbeneathpoetry14@gmail.com. Come say hi to me on that if you want to or whatever. I'll be on the site. You know, I'll post all my stuff up on here on your chat room thing anyway. All right. Well, that's it for me. I appreciate you guys having me on and me kicking the show off for you. I hope you guys get your phone lines back up and going.
Me too, because you guys are going to get real tired of listening to me talk to myself real fast.
Never. We all talk to ourselves. It's getting kind of boring. Listening to you talk to yourself is like a breath of fresh air. Kind of relieves us, knowing that we're all not just as crazy, you know?
Oh, good. Good. Well,
now, where's my
pants? If I can talk to myself for 3 hours, then, you know, you'll have no worries about whether you're sane or not, because by comparison, we'll just know you're fine.
Yeah, I still wake up every morning
right.
Looking for this.
Well, if you think of anything else and you want to call back in a bit later, you're more than welcome to.
Awesome. I appreciate it. All right.
All righty. We'll talk
to you
soon.
All right. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. So we do have a caller that made it on 386. If you wanted to talk on the air, go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and I'll know to bring you on. Right now I'm going to play a track by Lucy Martin called Once Upon a Time.
In a distant far off land, there's a prince, a knight, that comes to call in time. Trapped am I in the confines of a barricade, with no way out. I long to be saved, taken away, as to rescue me from myself. He is everything one may desire, as he sets the heart and soul afire. With one touch, a glance, a kiss, awakening deep within it, radiance. He holds the power to shed light, the wisdom to enlighten my mind. Upon God's grace, gift and stuff, as scars are bared, kindred to my own. In eternal battles, fought ceaselessly. In fairy tales, we dwell, 'tis known. Until the final moment, one awakens, finding oneself mesmerized, charmed, in the transparency of his heart and soul, leaving me breathless with such love. Yet for now, locked up I shall remain in a bolted fortress, patiently awaiting as time stands still, motionless, lost in a reverie where fairy tales exist. Once Upon a Time by Lucy Martin.
Martin with Once Upon a Time. Remember, area code 386. If you want to talk on the air, please press 1 on your phone and we know to bring you on. The call-in number is 646-595-3965. That's 646-595-3965. We are having some issues with the show tonight, so if you are trying to call in, please just keep trying. It will put you on eventually. The techs are working on the issue. Okay, so until then, we're going to be playing some tracks for you. The next track that I'm going to play comes from Maxwell Kessler, and this is a story of Big Bend Tunnel.
Well, post-Civil War, who do you think they call upon to turn the ash back to brick? No, sir. You don't need chains to keep a man his place. A few coins do you just fine. But when they promised us land for our work, we heard freedom. So we picked up spikes and shovels, followed that railroad wherever we were told to place it. Our job was to see the mountains of West Virginia as clay. Some of us died squinting so hard, especially out there in the Big Bend Tunnel. We drove more than a mile deep into them hills. The only light we had was the one hitting our backs. That is, had not been for Mr. John Henry. With a hammer in his hands, John had arms like dynamite-tipped bullwhips, fireflies bursting across his kneecaps. His slam sounded like bullets coming fresh out of a revolver. Hammerheads glowing like lanterns, so hot they melted the air a dark red, but John's voice was as holy as the blue breeze crawling up that tunnel to kiss our cheeks. Ain't no freedom in this work, brother. Freedom's when the clock runs out. When the only thing pushing against you is the wind, your daughter's hands, or your lover's lips. John always liked to talk about Polly Ann like that. Truest woman I ever met. She used to always tease him, say he wasn't working hard enough. But we knew she come down to the tracks wearing her finest blue dress just so she could watch the rain dripping off of his chest. John, the preacher of sweat. Sermon of crash. Whenever he saw one of us falling, his voice would ring out like church bells. Stand up, son! These rocks ain't shackles, just a whole lot of dust that don't know how to part ways when it sees our footsteps. He even made Captain Tommy want to pick up a hammer. Skinny-armed white man, dog bark, throat, dog heart yelling, Good God, Mr. Henry! Be careful now, what if them walls come caving in? Well, John just sing right back, I'll just lift this mountain with my hammer, Lord, Lord, crumble this here rock with my hand. In fact, the only time I heard John stop singing was when the steam drill come. His man, Mr. George, he called himself, sitting high and mighty on this soft, soft seat surrounded by all matter of levers and iron, sticking out like jail bars, machine bigger than most of our houses, and he stepped down, his skin pale, like it never learned how to sweat. He walked right up to Captain Tommy and said, I got me a machine here twice as efficient as them lazy niggers you got driving steel. If you give me some money, you can send all the work donkeys home. I wanted to scrape my calluses against his silky skin, peel off the husk so he could feel what it's like to bleed. But John stepped between us and quietly said, I got a better idea. I never really heard of John being a gambling man, but when he said he needed a shaker, I was the first one to step forward. Now in the tunnel, black dust clouds forming overhead, every smack, pebbles and rock shards ripping by my ears into the air pocket of John's elbows. Every lift, his muscles swelled up, blood glowing through his skin, the color of molten iron. I couldn't even see that steam engine. I heard his clock tick shatter, breathing down my neck, but John's voice rang out, Come on, Shaker! Spin that steel! Steady hands now, brother, we got a steam drill to put to shame! He swung so hard and so fast that the sparks stuck to his hammer arc like lightning bolts when he pulled back. The sound of air splitting shot out down the tunnel like an echo of a storm against the valley. Blew Tommy's hat clean off, wrapped around Polly Ann's neck like a whisper. And I used to think that only God could make thunder. Now when it was all said and done, John had drilled 2 7-foot tunnels, one with each arm, and that steam engine man only had one. 9 feet to our 14, but when John's veins had cooled off, his body hardened up. Heart couldn't find enough room to keep beating against the anvil of his chest with only the strength of whisper. He motioned over to Polly Ann and said, The hammer crash was my first taste of God, the shatter of rock, proof that our hands gave us a choice. I'm sorry for what I had to do. Polly Ann kissed his cheek, watched his eyes drag backwards. Mr. George would step over his body, pull out his purse and say, Well, machine's still for sale, Tommy, unless you got another monster like John Henry just lying around. Well, Polly Ann leapt up screaming, Listen here, Mr. Business Suit, Mr. Fabric Arms and Shiny Fingernails. Last I checked, I got hands, just like John Henry had hands, just like every man or woman here got hands, and ain't no steam engine can brew a storm like the fury pouring out of these palms. And with one arm, she swung that 20-pound hammer over her head and slammed the steel spike straight into that track, good as any man, blue dress whipping in the hurricane wind of her hips, lightning pouring out of her pupils. Mr. George just stared right back. Silent, like he could smell the rain coming.
That was Maxwell Kessler doing that piece. I love that. Has some of my favorite lines I've ever heard. The next one I'm going to play for us is Cross-Examination by Rachel McGibbons.
In my father's house, beneath the floorboards where the wood is worn, lies a jar with a faded label. Inside is a tiny daughter pickled in rose water, her wrists held by twine. She sings a school of copper fish, and they move through the tangled pipes above her rotting head, and I hear them when I bleed. If you are to love me, you must believe every word of this. Every haunted girl you knew before me has been a warning, and the mouth of each girl a brick with my window's name on it. I've watched a soul dance like smoke from a mouth and burn through my hair. I ate a plate of fingernails on my wedding day, made vows as the bones of friends stirred the mud beneath my gown. In 4 years, my husband's hands grew twice the size of his body. So I cut them down like men from a tree and hid them in a box. They ghost the hallways of a sixth-floor apartment in Brooklyn. My children are all five of my heart's unleashed. When I die, will you bring me flowers and a box of chocolates? Will my going skin be your saddest song? Do you understand? Instead of becoming a woman you grow old with, I want to be the god you run to.
Yeah.
On the day you found him, his tennis shoes squeaked, like the launching of 1,000 wooden ships, laughter, airplane, crashing fingers stuck through the belt loop of his jeans with all the swagger of a traveling salesman. So soon you reached for love, as it was promised to you. Love, as we all learned it to be, love without fear of the rejection you had not tasted, toy volcano, baking soda, pure. He found you like vinegar. The first days of romance, the early sex overflowing with a beginner's mistakes, flowers, and honesty. Unbelievably sweet gestures, easy late night drive-in makeout, challenging backseat Kama Sutra, a small eruption, still so much louder than the kiln from which you were fired. Do not blame the rummaging of hands through suitcases for the chaos of unsettled clothing in their wake, our ancient bodies. This infant culture. Do not listen to your preachers. This is not on sinfulness, but rather on the nature of humanity, which we have branded the sinful, the failure of the nuclear family, the steeples of churches alive with the screaming of infant birds nesting in the eaves, so much louder than the tight lines of fine print, the studies on human sexuality. The harsh biological improbability of successfully articulated monogamy, less about beauty, more about chemistry. In chemistry, two elements introduced to one another under the same conditions should invariably yield the same results. Helen of Troy, Emma Bovary, Francesca Johnson. Callous white horses will trample Quo Vadis into the pathways of your unfortunate houses when contracts are broken. There are to be consequences. On the day you lose him, no airplanes crash. The boats in the harbor sway gently on the current. Your prince, in the night armor shining, rides merciless to the warlike pounding of your heartbeat drum, the embrace of a lover. Well, it's like that of an ideal. A comfort only to the degree that you are willing to be held. Not like the toothpick jab of intellect, the lips of those close to you will spread jam with butterfly knives, sticky. This concept of the one. How sad it is. How sweet. How complete the sale of its message to good people, swept up in epic love stories like Venus, ignoring Agamemnon, the spearhead of a happy marriage, dipped in vinegar, a movie they haven't filmed yet, calling planet to find new moon, the void, the satellite discharge now. Forgetting gravity. Do you reject science?
All righty, and we do have two callers on hold right now. We have one from area code 386, the other one from 832. If either of you would like to come on the air, please press 1 on your phone, and I'll know that you are wanting to come on and read instead of just listen. Oh, there we go. So let's go ahead and bring them on in just a moment. To remind you guys, we are having some pretty big problems with callers being able to get through tonight and getting logged onto the site, getting into the chat room. If you are trying, please don't give up. Keep dialing that number. Keep pushing those buttons. It'll let you in eventually. All right, the number to call in is 646-595-3965. That's 646-595-3965. All righty, and let's go ahead and bring on area code 832. 832, you're on the air.
Good evening. This is Poetess Mimi T out of Houston, Texas.
Hey, sweetie, how are you doing?
I am fabulous. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for making it onto the show with me.
I'm so sorry it's taken a while to get back to the show, but here I am, better late than never.
Well, we're glad anytime you can be here.
Thank you so much. So I have a piece I wrote today for you. It's called Lion.
Okay.
It's called Lion the King. The lion roared, and I heard his call. He had been domesticated. So I walked over and petted him. He was so strong and powerful, yet soft and sweet. I looked into his eyes, a gaze of serenity and trust I did find in those beautiful orbs. I was stunned at his majestic presence, so regal, a king indeed. Intelligence exuded from him. I began to speak to him in soft, sweet tones. He responded by coming closer. I was keenly aware of his power. I moved slowly as not to scare him. I hugged him and felt his heart beating. At that moment, I realized all he wanted was love, too. I had made a new friend. Thoughts of Poetess Mimi T and peace.
That was beautiful. See, that's why we miss you when you don't come around often.
Well, I'm definitely going to be working on that. I've got my computer back up and running now, so I'll be able to do more.
That's cool. You don't just remember, though, keep the phone number in your pocket with the poem because you don't have to have the computer to call in. You can just run off and hide in the restroom at work or something or you know, tell them you're taking the mail out or something like that and call in. But, yeah, it's a real treat when you do, and we really appreciate it. And that was a great read, sweetheart.
Thank you. Much blessings to you.
And to you, do you want to tell everyone how they can come find your work, find you, what you have going on, all that good stuff?
Okay. You can find me under Poetess Mimi T on Facebook. I also have a like page, Poetess Mimi Truth Davis. I have a poetry group. It's called Poets for the Power of the People. And what's different about this poetry group is that I ask everyone in that group to touch another human's life in a positive manner on a regular basis, whether it's to take a sandwich and a smile to a homeless person, to give their unwanted items to a domestic violence shelter instead of a garage sale, to go and read to an elderly person at a convalescent hospital, or to have a party to register to vote and get out there and vote. Don't complain about what's been going on in the news. Vote those judges off the bench. Get those people out of the government. Or donate your time to a Boys and Girls Club or the Big Brothers Big Sisters. And that's called the Poets for the Power of the People. I ask for consciousness pieces, but all pieces are acceptable. And within the I just started it 6 months ago, and we have over 3,500 folks in there doing that across the nation, so I'm very proud of that group. And you can Google me, Mimi T. Davis, and find out everything else.
So let me ask you this. You said that you go and you read to the old folks, right?
Right, right, at the convalescent hospital.
How did you get started doing that?
What you do is just connect with the a specific convalescent hospital.
How do you do it? How did you get started doing it? What made you start doing that?
Oh, because, you know, there's a great need for people to touch somebody's life. You know, the elderly, a lot of them are, you know, disenfranchised from their families when they're in convalescent hospitals. They're left alone, and people are not paying them attention. They're just kind of left there to die. And so this way, you know, you can interact with somebody who needs some human warmth, you know, and compassion, and give them something.
How has it changed your life doing that?
Oh, it's amazing when you help others, how much it benefits you, you know, how wonderful you feel, and just as much as you give, you get back.
You know, what I think is amazing about that is it's really sad. It's only been in the last couple of the last couple of generations where the elderly, and I blame it a lot on healthcare, but where the elderly have become a burden instead of being respected like they were in the olden days. I mean, you know, your grandparents, they you know, they were honored. They were, you know, cherished and listened to, and their wisdom sought out, and they taught. You know, it's just amazing the way our culture has just slid our elderly to the side and deemed, you know, when their usefulness seems to be gone as far as being working drones, that we just forget about them. Or when they become a burden, we just forget about them. You know, we don't take care of them like we used to, or the generations before us used to, and I think that's really sad. And I really commend you for doing that, you know, both for what you're giving them, but I don't think that people realize what they get in return. You know, and just from sitting and talking to them, I mean, they have lived and seen things that they can tell us firsthand. It's kind of like when we write. Generations from now, people are going to read your writings, and they're going to hear your wisdom and things about the way, I mean, the world's not going to be like it is in 100 years from now, like, you know, in 100 years like it is now. And people are going to read the things that we write, and they're going to learn from them, and they're going to hear our voices, and they're going to know what the common man thought. And so we have this wealth of people that we can learn from and talk to and listen to and ask them their stories and their opinions and what was it like, you know. And I think that that's really sad that resource is not revered the way it should be and it used to be. So, you know, that just touched a real soft spot with me, and I really, really commend you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. And it doesn't matter what you choose. When you do touch another person's life, you get so much more back than what you give. And all of those that I listed cost really nothing. Everybody generally has sandwich food in their refrigerator. You might not have money to give, but you could make a sandwich and give it to that homeless person. Do something to touch people. And as far as the elderly, for example, my grandmother went from a horse and buggy to the Apollo space shots to the moon, and it was amazing the information that I gained from her. And, you know, there's so much that the elderly can give us with their wealth of knowledge. And I agree with you 100%. We need to honor them far more than what we do in today's world. And, yeah. So it's been a pleasure. Blessings, as I said, and you take care, and I'll definitely be back.
Oh, we appreciate you so much, sweetheart. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for all you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
All right, then. Bye-bye. All right, so it looks like a couple other callers were able to get through. Let's go ahead and bring on area code 815. 815, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Nyla?
Yes. Hi.
Hey. How are you doing?
Nothing. You must have got my message.
Hi, what?
Did you get my message?
I did. I was trying to find the number, and I was having a problem with it, so I finally got through.
Well, I am glad. I am glad. I'm sitting here, and I'm getting this call trying to beep through, and it's like, no, no, you have to call on the air. It doesn't work right now on my other phone. How you doing, sweetheart?
Yeah, well, I somehow couldn't find the number. I was going to the Speakeasy Cafe, and I kept getting pop-ups. So I don't know what's going on with that. But
well, they're having all kinds of crazy issues tonight, I think.
Yeah, the pop-ups were kind of getting annoying. I was trying to find the number. Anyway, as I talked to you earlier this week, my mom was in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of been a pretty tough week, but I wrote something that was kind of my thoughts on what's going on. And just to update you, the doctor, he said there's only 1% chance that she will save her eye. So she's coming to terms with just having one eye. And I can't imagine that, you know. I know you. I know how you feel about your mom. And it's something that's really difficult to deal with.
I know.
When something or someone hurts your mother. But anyway, I don't even have a title for this, but I was just writing it. So I'll go ahead and read it, okay?
Okay.
She saw my first breath. She heard my first cry. And she's told me how beautiful I was to see. She held my hand my first day of school. She packed my first lunch. She read me my first bedtime story. And I imagine her first touch. I remember walking with her as a child and being afraid yet determined no one would ever, ever hurt my mom and her, me. Yet only God protected us with a love we could only understand so much. She gave me birth. She saw to it that I lived. She sacrificed her life for me. And tonight I'm just praying that God would let her see.
That make me cry on that one.
Hmm.
Have you read that to her?
No, not yet. Honestly, it's been a really busy week. I'm going to see her tomorrow. She's been in and out of hospitals and eye specialists and a lot of different things have been going on. She was in Wisconsin when it happened, about 4 hours north of here. So I'm going to go and take her some homemade pot pies. I know I should take her soup.
Is your Superman, yeah. So what are you doing right now, Jared?
What am I doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like literally doing right now?
Yeah, what do you have planned for this evening?
Oh, not a whole lot. I've just been thinking about things. I feel kind of dull and listless. And I don't normally feel that way. Normally I can listen to music and I can get inspired by lyrics And, you know, I feel selfish in a way because I'm really concerned about my mom, but I almost feel like I'm concerned about how it affects me too, because I was so close to her. I am so close to her. And, you know, every week we would hang out, go grocery shopping and do stuff. And now I don't know how that's going to change. So a little bit of feeling sorry for myself, but more feeling, you know, just the loss that she's having right now and trying to figure out who I should be to her and how I can do that for her. So.
Well, I'm going to hijack you for a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So you're like one of the people in this world I'm the closest to of everyone I know. You're one of my dearest friends and probably know me better than most anybody. Okay?
Okay.
And I feel really bad for what you're going through. And so I'm just going to take you away for a few minutes, and you're going to host the show with me for a little while.
Okay.
Okay. Have you hang out with me for a little bit, maybe read something else? Do you want to read something else in a little, just find something else to share with us?
I don't know. Maybe. Let me think about it. You kind of just put me on the spot, but sure.
I know, because that's what I do. And you'll forgive me because you love me.
Yeah, yeah. You're very good at making me uncomfortable sometimes, yes.
That's what I do. That's my purpose in life. That's why I was born.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold for a couple minutes. I'm going to take the next caller, and then I'm going to bring you back on. So that gives you a little bit of time to find something else to share, okay? Since we're slow tonight and I've only got a couple callers able to get through, this is going to be my chance to share you with everybody a little bit as well.
Okay.
Because I love you.
I know you do.
Okay. All right. So you poke around, find something fun, and I will bring you right back, okay?
All right. Sounds good. I love you now. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and bring on area code 863-863 on the air.
Okay. Hello, Nyla.
Hi, honey.
Okay, how are you doing? Okay,
I'm wonderful.
Fine. Okay, that's good. Okay, and tonight I got one of my real older poems, and I don't think I ever read it on here. It's called The Beggar and the Rich Man.
Okay.
Long ago, there was a little boy, a beggar, who wore ragged clothes, standing on the street corner, begging people who passed by for their spare change so he could eat. But one day, a greedy, rich young man passed by. He had everything that money could buy, galore of jewelry, clothes, cars, etc. The little beggar looked up at him with his pleading, sad eyes. "Mister, can you spare any change so I won't go hungry tonight?" The rich young man looked down at him with his piercing cold eyes. "No, little one, I haven't any spare change. What is mine, and I do not give out my money to a stranger like you." 20 years later, that little beggar became a rich young man because of his positive attitude toward life. But that greedy, rich young man became a middle-aged beggar because of his greed. One day, the middle-aged beggar stood on the street corner begging for spare change so he could eat. When the rich young man passed by, the middle-aged beggar looked at him with his drooping, sad eyes. "Mister, can you spare any change so I won't go hungry tonight?" The rich young man looked at him in shock. "No, sir, I haven't any spare change. What is mine, and I do not give out my money to a stranger like you. Remember, sir, you said the same thing to me 20 years ago. The end.
What comes around goes around.
Right.
What a true taste of karma that is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's, I don't think I ever read it on here. It's one of my real old poems.
Yeah, I don't remember you reading it before. That was awesome, sweetheart.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Is Gary going to read tonight?
Yes, he's right here. Okay.
Okay.
Here you go, honey.
Hello.
Hey, Gary. How are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing okay. I thought I'd read one of my old ones, too. Remember one? It's called Pit-a-Pat.
Pit-a-Pat. Pit-a-Pat. I remember the name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do? Okay. All right. It goes pit-a-pat, pit-a-pat, pit-a-pat. Raindrops hitting the window sill. Crash. What was that? A baseball? Dang them kids. Oh, I can't read. Wasn't me. Let's get out of here. Around the house. Let's hide in the shed. I'm going to whip them kids. I'm going to the shed and get me a paddle. Yow! Pit-a-pat, pit-a-pat, pit-a-pat. And the raindrops trickle down. Pit-a-pat, pit-a-pat, pit-a-pat.
And you know what my lesson on that is?
Huh?
Never hide in the shed.
Go two doors away or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could get caught. Yeah.
Too funny. I love that. It was so cute.
Oh,
very nostalgic.
You. Huh?
Very nostalgic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. And how's your weather doing up there?
Oh, we got daffodils and daisies everywhere and big white puffy clouds and spring's coming and sunshine and...
No rain?
Yeah, we've had rain the last couple of days. The creek's kind of flooding and stuff, but, you know, all that rain makes everything grow. Winter's gone. Winter's done.
Yeah.
Soon we'll have blossoms and peach trees and cherry blossoms and pink snow.
Wow. Pink snow.
Pink snow. Yeah, that's when the cherry blossoms start to fall. And instead of snowflakes, you can twirl around in pink snow.
All right. Yeah. Okay, I better give you back to Noreen here, Sugar.
All right, baby. We love you, Gary. Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay. Here, Noreen.
Okay.
Hello, Nyla. Okay.
And he just pitter-patted away.
Yes. Okay.
So you're going to tell us how to find you guys, baby?
Yes. Okay. You can find Gary at PoetryPoem.com /Gary Snyder with two R's in it. You can find him on Facebook.com /Gary Snyder. And you can also find him on Wikinut.com under Gary Snyder. And you can also find him on Bubbaloos.com under Gary Snyder. And he's also Googleable and Googleable.
Yes,
yes.
And you, my dear?
Okay. And you can find me on ReverbNation.com /Noreen Ann Snyder. And you can also find me on Facebook.com /Noreen Ann Snyder. And you can also find me on Wikinut.com under Noreen Ann Snyder. And you can also find me on Tickler.com under Noreen Ann Snyder. And I'm also Googleable and Googleable.
Yes, you are, love.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart.
Okay. And I want to thank One Sapien and Kenyon and Roy the Here for the Beer. I want to thank all three of them for sponsoring this show for the year, and I want to thank you, Nyla, and Michael, too, for hosting this show for us, the poets. And thank you. It's an awesome show.
Thank you for always remembering them, sweetheart. You're so amazing.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. And we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Okay.
All right. You want me to keep you on hold, or do you want to
I'll hang up and listen in the chat room.
All right, sweetie. We love you.
Okay. Okay. So we love you all, too. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So we're going to take the next caller, and then we're going to go grab Jared again, see what he found for us. And this looks like a Skype caller. Skype caller, are you with us?
I'm with you. It's Luna.
Hey, Luna. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm doing well. I couldn't get into the chat room, but I have the phone number programmed into my phone. I don't need it anymore. So
good girl. You get a cookie.
Yeah. And it's funny because I made 60 cookies this afternoon while I was getting ready for the show. So
did you really? Enough for everybody. So everybody gets one, and I get the other 50.
Okay. I was going to pawn them off, actually, on the doorman here so that I don't actually eat them all.
That works.
Yeah. It also helps them.
The only person I can pawn my cookies off to is someone who's putting a roof on a house. They make good shingles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I figure it's a lot easier for him to, you know, pretend he doesn't see me do a lot of the things I'm not supposed to do. So, you know, it works.
What you got, sweetie?
I wasn't sure if I've I wanted to read something like totally different than what I've ever done, and I don't know if I've ever read like an actual what I consider a love poem on your show. I know I do a lot of angry and sarcastic. Pardon?
Where they didn't end up either in bed or dead, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love your poems.
Yeah, most of them don't end well, but this one I actually I wrote a while ago, and it's about like a long, long time ago, nothing recent or anything. But so I figured I would read this one while I was thinking about it. So this one is called "Ended Eternity." From the darkest depths of insanity, I will find you and bring you home. Remember how I fought to keep you in the here and now with me? You scoffed, said we had eternity and nothing would come between us. For a moment, I believed. I held that as tight as the embrace we were entangled in, believed we had eternity. For a moment, time stood still. I saw forever. I saw you were not mine. You were not even your own. Little boy blue, forever lost, fighting demon not yours to bear, while growing your own, letting them sensually free off the ease of your entanglement. I chose to stay. My demons work differently. They do not allow me to be indifferent nor forget the man who made me believe. Believe I was worth holding and holding on to, fighting beside and with, not for. There was not a soul who could have taken me from you. You took me from you, exiled yourself, wandering wasteland, seeking storms and ravenous rages. I slayed my demons to find you, used them to turn the tides of the tidal wave you were drowning in. They became allies, a force field, used full force to traverse the deepest depths of insanity to find you and bring you home. And I did, time and time again. But you wouldn't stay. You stopped hearing me call, let go of the hand that held tight, the heart that refused to back down, distance yourself. You are not mine. If I thought it would change even a single thing, I would still. even if just for a moment, to look into the face of the man who made me believe, but ended eternity. And that's that piece.
I love that. I love the line in there that said, I slayed my demons to find you.
Thank you.
That was incredible, Luna.
Thank you very much. I don't write many of those, so, you know, and it's been a long, long time, but
I really relate to that one as well. I love that one a lot. So I am going to, first of all, I need you to tell everyone how to find you.
It's Luna Phoenix on Facebook, and for right now, that's it.
Okay.
And, so oh, that magazine came out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
The magazine came out that had Andy's and my poem in it, the Seven Deadly Sins issue. So that's
uh-huh.
out now.
Is that is it online or is it on in hardcover as well?
I don't know. I was trying to find if it's in hardcover as well, but I downloaded it, so it is downloadable.
Mhm.
But I don't know if I can order a print copy yet.
Ah. If you think about it, throw the link to it over on my page.
I will do that.
You're awesome. So I'm going to keep you online with me for a minute. Is that okay?
Sure.
I want to introduce you to Jared. So let's bring
okay.
Jared back on. Jared, are you with me?
I'm here.
Hi, honey.
Hey.
So, Jared, this is Luna. Luna, this is Jared. If you guys aren't friends on Facebook, you should be. I think both of you would really appreciate each other's writing very, very much. And this is kind of cool because I get to introduce you to each other. And then you get to read something, Jared, and then Luna gets to tell you how cool you are.
Awesome.
You know, you probably, Luna, you've probably, he was, Jared and I have been writing together. How many years, Jared?
Long? No, it's been about, you know what, it's probably been almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least nine.
Yeah,
I've heard
2005, so 2006.
I've heard you reference him before. I've just never heard him before that I recall.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing. I love it when he calls in because I get to share him because he's a very humble writer. He doesn't put his work out there a lot. He'll post stuff on my page when he writes it, but he doesn't do a lot to promote himself. And so I really love it when I get a chance to share him with everybody. And you probably, I don't know if you remember him from MySpace, but he was over writing with us even back in MySpace days, which is where we first started writing.
You know, I was never on MySpace.
Well, then you don't remember him. From there.
No. I honestly, I opened my MySpace account and I was there one day and I've never been back, ever.
No wonder you and One Sapien get along so well. Well, this is going to be awesome then. So, Jared, what did you find to share with us, honey?
Well, I found one thing, but I need to know, can I say the four-letter S word in this?
What's the four-letter S word?
How many are there?
Shit, slut, I don't know, what?
Yeah, okay, well then I can say it.
Okay.
This is.
Do you remember, Jared, when you wrote that blog and you said that the 10 reasons, when you wrote that, it was kind of like the David Letterman thing, the 10 reasons to read?
Are you kidding me? I don't have that great a memory. I don't know.
It was one of the 10 reasons, wrote that about one of the poems I wrote, and one of the reasons, 10 reasons he gave why you should read my writing, Luna, was that I was the only person he knew that had no problem dropping the F-bomb in a poem but still called it a potty word.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know why I picked this one, but it just kind of hit me right now.
Okay.
So it's called Lonely Shapes Our Thoughts Like a Fox. The playground's all about the monkey bars, where little kids laugh and later adults explain scars. Instilled inside the child's belief That fear is a passing emotion that soon gets relieved. So unlucky, we grow out of jeans and kiss the grass on our knees. When the wind sees, when hope leaves, and life won't toss you a breeze. Even still, they're just scars. Tonight we reminisce under stars. Perhaps randomly, like familiar passing cars. But when we drive down the road with the stake in the heart, we recognize our strength. You can't put a Band-Aid on a scraped knee, even as you could never take his keys. You simply could dance, smile, while the sun loved to glisten off your teeth. We are rarely defined truly by our greatest feats, for rarely a feat isn't preceded by too many defeats. Instead, where we shine in the moments is the lows, the game where life's scoreboard never shows. When the teeth grind and grit, when the world is done to shit, and when it feels like you have little left. Lonely shapes our thoughts like a fox, even when someone has walked where you've walked. The heavens listen and kiss your eyes every night, because for every lost soul, another angel takes flight.
And poem, right?
And poem, yeah. I know. I should say that.
Not well trained yet. I've only known him 10 years, guys. I'm working on it.
One day I'll come around. Around until you're 75, enough? Another 40 years from now, right?
Yeah.
So.
Luna, you with us still? Oh, no. Her call dropped. Well, that bit. So what made you pick that one, hon?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, except a couple different lines. One of them is that I think we are not measured sometimes as much as the feats we've accomplished in life as what we've overcome, all the defeats, and still keep going. I think that's the main premise of what I like about it.
I think it was amazing. Yeah, and I can't wait for a couple years down the road when we're talking to your mom and we look at her and remember that line. By the way, because your mom is amazing, and she is so strong, you know.
Yeah, she really is, and you know what? Mm-hmm. You are a pretty strong example of being very strong yourself.
Well, I've been friends with you for 10 years. That makes it easy. So, what do you want to do, sweetheart? You want to hang out longer? What do you want to do?
Sure, I don't know. What are you, you should read more of what you write. That's what I think.
Oh, see, there you go, being all insane again. Why don't
Not
you,
exactly. I
was, why don't you find something that we wrote together and you can read it?
Okay,
and then I'll take
another caller and bring you back on. Okay. Yep.
Is that good?
I'm good.
Half the time we never know who wrote what anymore. Did you write this? I don't know. Did you write it? I don't know. You had to have written it. It's misspelled. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Pretty much. This sounds good. You must have written it.
Yeah, that's what I say to you. All right, I'll
you
bring
got
you back on public, a few minutes.
You got this public, so it definitely wasn't mine.
Goofball. All right, I'll bring you back in a minute. All right, hon?
All right, sounds good.
All right, bye. Okay, let's go ahead and get area code 585 on the air. 585, are you with us?
Yes, this is Sean.
Hi, Sean. How are you, baby?
Great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm very happy to hear from you.
Okay. Okay. All right. This one This one is called What's Next? Okay. The problem in knowing the godliness of who you are is in knowing that you truly are the creator of all of your circumstances surrounding you at any given moment. There is so much anguish and feeling of trouble for even thinking about what can be done to create more. Say that I am God? Yes, I am saying that with passion and fervor, appeal and measure. It is because what is next is my capability to be me. I am myself. What is next is beyond property, beyond dignity, beyond sex, to being etheric, quality of just acting freely. You see, many issues hold you back, like harassment can to someone being hurt by the one attacking abusively or compulsively. Any way that is holding you back just simply means that you are not implementing enough balance in your life created. So much of what is next is insinuated in your true passions and beliefs of how you are living. Am I purely delusional or really seeing? This is the questioning that happens when you are becoming more aware of what is deeper and all-knowing. I don't want any kind of ism within my logical.
Are you still there, Sean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
We lost you for a minute. We lost you.
Okay.
We don't want any more.
Okay. Yeah.
Just go ahead and pick up wherever you want, or start over if you'd like.
What's next? The problem in knowing the godliness of who you are is in knowing that you truly are the creator of all of your circumstances surrounding you at any given moment. There's so much anguish and feelings of trouble for even thinking about what can be done to create more. Say that I am God? Yes, I am saying that with passion and fervor, appeal and measure. It is because what is next is my capability to be me. What is next is beyond property, beyond dignity, beyond sex, to being etheric quality of just acting freely. You see, many issues hold you back, like harassment can to someone being hurt by the one attacking abusively or compulsively. Any way that is holding you back just simply means that you are not implementing enough balance in your life created. So much of what is next is insinuated in your true passions and beliefs of how you are living. Am I purely delusional or really seeing? This is the questioning that happens when you are becoming more aware of what is deeper and all-knowing. I don't want any kind of isms within my logical program. I am almighty even if it is in my own kingdom of my own forestry or my own castle for all I care. It is still mine to create what is next within. I love just being wild sometimes and think insanely, to laugh at sinister crimes and sinister happenings around the planet just because I can. Even if that sounds screwed up, it's the case with me. God complex? Yeah, for sure. Because the God complex to me just means that I am making sure that my position for what is next works well and best for me, and also creating it just like anything else is created. My mind is always by the worst horrors. Hello?
Yeah, we lost you again. You cut out for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, you can hear?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. I am almighty, even if it is in my own kingdom of my own forestry or my own castle, for all I care. It is still mine to create what's next within. I love just being wild sometimes and thinking sanely, to laugh at sinister crimes and sinister happenings around the planet just because I can. Even if that sounds screwed up, it's the case with me. God complex? Yeah, for sure, because the God complex to me just means that I am making sure that my position for what is next works well and best for me, and also creating it, just like anything else is created. My mind is always tainted. I love that, though, and also hate it, as it feels slightly jaded. Times like these are punctuated by the worst horrors, dangers, fears, murders, rapes, and more tragedies. Why do we need all of these catastrophes? Is it to make a new consciousness of a growing planet, not a dying one? Is that what is next, truly? You tell me. I think I need all this. I'm taking it all on. I think I need this. I'm taking it all on attitude to breed more overcoming situations instead of just circling patterns of oscillation, ascension or descension. Do I need to just leave behind others who do not really put much effort into me? Is it a thing of me or being a creator of an entire world of my own called Sean Kevin Liebel? I am my own planet pretty much amongst all of this nonsense on this earth. You can have your garbage and hold it as so-called baggage, and I will live in my fantasy that I am my own planet willingly, because it feels better to create what is next, knowing that I am my own source of all what is being cultivated right now, as of this very moment in time. Isn't that beautiful? Or maybe not. I am a superhero on TV and in the movies in my own mind, and I don't care if you might not think that of me, because I know you want to be a superhero with incredible abilities too. Don't lie to me now. What's next with all of what is going on right now? Am I really making all of this up as an artistic tapestry, or is it really truly reality playing a trick on me? What is next?
I love that. I am my own planet. You know, you and I are so much alike, it is not even funny. Yeah, I tell people all the time that you know, you can't control what life brings you, but you do control how you react to it. And those people who sit around waiting for life to show them what they're supposed to do are crazy, because we were given free will for a reason. Free will means free will, you know, and so you have to go out and make your life and take your chances and do what you want to do and not worry about being a sheep and not worrying about what everyone else thinks or what they're doing or what you're supposed to be doing or what they expect you to be doing. You know, you, cause and effect, chain of events, you know, you, it's up to you to put that foot forward and then the next and then the next, and keep your eyes always 3 inches above the horizon and just end up where you go, you know. I love, my mom tells me that all the time. You live in your own little world. You have rose-colored glasses. And I told her, I do. And I have a whole drawer of them just in case I break a pair. You know, it's not that I don't live in a fantasy world because I can't see reality. I live in a fantasy world because I can see reality very well.
It's funny. I just laugh at it because it can be funny because that's what I mean by that, and it's. Like what's next? What are you going to make next? Are you creating that? Is this sometimes you just feel like, is this just you making all of this up, or is it, you're just in a dream living whatever you're making up on the painting?
Mm-hmm.
It's all real. Yeah. Well,
I love it, Sean.
Yep. Okay. At Facebook, Sean Liebel, SEANLIEBEL, at scribd.com, SKL 2012, at also YouTube.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right, sweetheart. I am so glad you called in. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
You too, baby. We'll talk to you a little bit later. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Once again, everybody, the number is 646-595-3965. If you're trying to get in, please keep trying. It'll get to you eventually. I'll let you in. We do have three callers on hold. Area code 386-215 and 832. All three of you are on the board, but none of you are in the lineup. If you guys wanted to come on the air and talk, please press 1, and I'll know that I can bring you on. All righty. I'm going to go ahead and bring Jared back on since I have him captive today. Jared, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hey.
What did you find?
Well, I actually was looking through a couple of different things. I wrote an interesting King Kong blog a while back, but it wasn't as good as I think the the poem that you and I wrote in August of 2007, believe it. Anyway, you want me to read it real quick?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to recognize this real quick. But it's Butterfly Before He Hits the Ground.
Yeah.
Her mother, washing dishes in the porcelain sink, had to smile at her little girl with her bucket green and pink. "I'm going to pick apples. Please, Mommy, don't mind." But Mommy laughed. "You're not picking. You're going to climb. I see you from the window, your legs hanging down, talking to that little boy when no one is around. Embarrassed but gleeful." Sorry, my lighting is really hard right now. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my lighting is just really bad right now. "As Mommy sent her out the door, yelling, 'And don't be late for dinner,' like you were the night before. He'd been waiting there for hours, he told her, but he lied." I tell you what, I'm sorry, but this poem is really, I can't read it on my tablet right now.
I know,
I need to turn on my lights and see this is giving me some internet problems right now.
Do you want me to come back to you in a bit? You want to
hang
out more?
Light. Yeah, come back.
All right, sweetie, I can do that.
Okay.
All right, bye. All right, so let's go ahead and grab. Oh my goodness! I'm gonna have a heart attack. I need CPR. Someone, please punch me in the mouth and breathe on my chest. Or wait a minute, do I have that backwards? Andrew.
Good evening.
Good evening. Just wondering if you have a little story that goes something-something.
I got a little story to go something-something, but I got a precursor to the story.
Okay.
Okay. Now, remember last week we were talking about a very long poem that I had published called The Seven Princes?
Yeah.
It looks really cool when it's published, by the way. Anyway. And by the way, congratulations for getting published in the Haiku Journal.
You're welcome.
I say that sincerely since they continuously reject my work. Anyway.
575, so, Andy. I keep telling you, 575.
Five pages, seven pages, five more pages, right?
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
Three-line poem. I know that's impossible for you.
Yeah. So I decided what was I was going to do because you asked me to read the beginning of it, right? Of the Seven Princes poem. Well, for those that are listening, because you have constant listeners, we're going to make this a multi-part series type situation.
So you're going to call in and read one part, and then the next part, and then the next part?
Yes.
Ooh. Okay.
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 So, and because of my work, I'm going to be really fast. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Onlooker stare, my figure with contempt. Judgment gleam in the pupils of their eyes. To them I have elected the throne I sit. If the poor minions only knew what led me here, to be stationed at this eternal fire gate. Prologue. Village tradition. Our village hosts manhood initiations to celebrate our arrival. Many have survived and now rule our inhabitants. Symbols of each season's prosperity, of warm shelter and food, the true showing of all outsiders of our wealth. The journey of the land for 42 moons and the untamed land surrounding our village was the ancestors' test of who shall be a true man, to be able to continue to father a family and flourish in our standing. Some that were to be truly born never return, presumed to be eaten at the foot of the jungle, fulfilling the appetite of the unnamed. The ones that dared to return before the final moon were brought before us all, so we may witness the permanent castration of the manhood. Anxiety and determination were part of us. Three boys walking into the unknown shelter of the unforgiving jungle, hoping for all to return men of internal strength. That was part one.
How are they going to return men if there's castration?
If they return before the moons, there's castration. If they return on time, they're good.
I think I would be carrying a watch or two. Or
not
three.
Back then.
A sundial. I'd shave one of their head and stick a branch on top. That was awesome. So we get to hear, that was part one, so we get to hear six more?
There's six or seven more parts.
Very cool. I'm so happy that got accepted for publication because it is long, and it is real hard to get long poems accepted, so that's quite an accomplishment.
I was very surprised.
I was too, not because the poem isn't good, but because it's long.
Yeah. Well, when I read the submission requirements, they gave us a word count. So I went to the poem and decided to see how many words were in the poem, and it met the word count. So I sent it in, just 'cause. But I was very surprised.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
To you and Luna both.
Yes.
It's kind of neat being in the same publication, isn't it?
Well, it was kind of cool, right? I didn't realize. Because you never hear of others all that much.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm real excited about that.
So it was kind of cool.
I'm hoping that it's in print publication because I'd like to get a copy. I know you're at work, so I'm not going to keep you gabbing, or I could, and just, like, really stress you out and listen to the panic in your voice, but I won't do that.
Yeah, my feet have already started tapping.
Yeah. So, why don't you give us the quickie, how to find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Andrew Scott, or you can go to my website, andrewmscott.com, or you can go to amazon.com and buy a book, Snake with a Flower, just type it in, or you can hear me on Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, on the Speakeasy Presents Reverse, produced by you, hosted by me, where people call in, not with their own works, but works that have inspired them.
Very cool. All righty.
There's the coldness of it all.
That's what?
That's the cool notes of it all.
Okay. so then you're good to go, right? Back to work?
Back to work I go.
Got your poetry fix out of the way, so you're all awesome now?
I feel a little stronger.
Okay, all right. I think you'll make it through the night now. You'll be okay.
Okay. All
right. Bye, little camper. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Our next caller comes from area code 215. 215, you're on the air. I think, if I can get you unmuted. Maybe.
Oh, do you have me?
I have you.
Hello?
Hello.
Good, you do. You unmuted me. And, in fact, I've been dreading this ever since I got stuck on this poem because it's kind of a hybrid form. It's like, you know, part my normal stuff and part, you know, rhymed verse. So the problem, as I said on Facebook to one of my poetic colleagues over there, it's like every time I write rhymed verse, I think I'm like Dr. Seuss or Ogden Nash. It's really pathetic. So hopefully this isn't going to be too miserable, because you know, if it is, just beam me back into the 19th century, and you know, I'll publish it in Harper's Bazaar or something like that. So it's called Equinox for Children. Time, like drops of water, goes unnoticed but for the groove left in marble, looking for a clean spot to lay detritus of the ebbing day, entropic forces hard at play, all surfaces concealing. The wintry soot from weather foul pounds my carpet like a maul. My desks and counters at me scowl, passivity revealing. Yet one more season, one more time, one impassive stilted rhyme, my certitude embossed in chyme awaits the daylight's healing. Time, like drops of water, goes unnoticed but for the groove left in marble. Beneath the beds my tulips grow, the bulbs take root. How do they know that sunlight speaks through mud and snow with water still at freezing? Buds thickening, cold xylem swells, but days until my trimmer fells frail embers from last season's bells, May's roses make more pleasing. At last the wood chips peeking through white carpet, greeting sun anew, garden plans bring hope renewed for happier warm seasons. Time, like drops of water, goes unnoticed but for the groove left in marble. With every day, even though I wane, I see life growing strong again. My children's love cuts through the pain of poverty unceasing. Here's where it breaks down. My son, who now can wear my shoes, adult left-handed clubs can use. Your strength and love in one heart fused, your competence increasing. My girl, recall the lullaby I coo to you, unless I cry. Dismounting, thrusting heart to sky, relentless growth unceasing. Time, like drops of water, goes unnoticed but for the groove left in marble. End poem.
That one got you choked up, and I can understand why. That was incredible, honey.
And I know it's probably pretty trite, but I'm in tears.
No, not trite at all. No, that was amazing. That was a hard read for you, very personal piece. That was incredible.
True, true. Probably the last time I'll read it.
I hope not. You know, sometimes
okay.
It's scary. scared to read things that are so personal to them just for that reason. It's like, you know, I don't know if I can get through this or not, you know, but it's like the most honest things that we can share. You know, it's when we're most vulnerable and we're really flaying ourselves out, you know, and putting ourselves out there and stuff, and that takes a lot of courage. And I just thought it was incredible. And I'm very happy. If that's the only time you ever read it, then I am very blessed that I got to hear it. You know, and all things that you write, I'm really happy I get to hear, because you are a great writer. One of the things that you do with your writing that just amazes me, and I know that it's not something you do intentionally, but it's the way your brain works, is the way you're so lyrical, you know, and the way that you have so many internal upside down, inside out, and backwards sound rhymes, and I mean the way that you put your sentences together and your word usage, it's very unique and amazing.
I try to do that even in the more modern non-form stuff, but obviously it's a challenge trying to write rhymed verse that doesn't sound ripped off from the 19th century.
No, not at all.
No. Like Robert, you know, Robert Frost was pretty good at sounding fresh until he actually started reading his poems. You know, we have all these sound recordings of him, and, you know, he just thinks way too much of himself. You know, history judged him right. It's just I can't stand listening to the guy.
Well, you know, that's one of the cool things. You know, some people can get so hung up on one style of poetry or so snobbish about one style of poetry, you know, that they don't leave their mind open to everything. And that's one of the things that fascinates me about any kind of art, whether it's music or writing or painting or sculptures or anything, is that, you know, if you keep an open mind when you look at the world and its artistic ability, you know, it's amazing all the differences, you know, and it's amazing the way that things will influence each other, you know, and cross over, and inspiration is just mind-boggling, profoundly awesome.
True. Well, thanks. I don't think I'm going to read another one today because it took me like a couple days to write that one. And, you know, I've just really slowed down as far as poetry is concerned, but that's probably because of the pressures of, you know, seeking some way to sustain myself, you know, some way to keep the lights on.
Yeah. All right, my darling, will you do me a favor and tell everyone how to find you?
Okay, well, it's ronaldfishman.com if you want to visit my my website and hire me as a ghostwriter, except everybody on this program is just as good and wants people to hire them as a ghostwriter. But that's okay. You can still visit me and say hello. It's the fish with a C, not the fish in a C. So that's ronaldfishman.com. And you can also find me on Facebook, Ronald Fishman, or go to my fan page, which is Ron Fishman, both with the F-I-S-C-H combination. And, of course, I'm Googleable.
Yes,
I'm even Googleable.
Oh, Noreen is starting a craze, I'm telling you. All right.
Yeah,
sweetie.
You can put me back on hold. I'll listen and work at the same time.
Okay, that works for me. Thank you, hon.
Thank you, Nyla.
Bye, sweetheart. All righty. So our next caller, we've got two more callers. We've got area code 309 and then 832, and then we're going to jump back up and grab Jared. We do have a caller 386 who does not have their hand up. So if you wanted to come on the show, go ahead and press 1, area code 386. Otherwise, we're going to do 309. Then 832, and then Jared. So let's go ahead and bring 309 on. 309, are you with me?
Hello. How are you?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, but you're really low.
How about now?
I can hear you now. Hey, sweetheart.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm groovy, I suppose. I think that's the word for it.
Yeah?
There's some words like that or something. I can't keep up with, I'm not as trendy as I used to be.
You sound really muffled, like you're not very close to the phone. Are you on speaker or something, hon?
I'm on my raggedy ass Bluetooth.
Well, poke it so it behaves.
All right. Am I any better now?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. All right. Let's see. So I'm going to do like I heard some people do many, many months ago, or maybe even years, last time I've been here, piece. Get a couple pieces. Maybe would you like to hear something long or something short?
I want you to read what you want to read. Which one is calling to you?
Neither one of them. I'm just that tired. But it's calling me with my pillow.
Let's hear the long one, because it's been so long since I've talked to you. I just want to hear you.
All right. Give me a second here. This is, let me give you a little background, even though I hate when people give backgrounds to their pieces. But I'm going to give you background just because I don't have nothing else to do. But, okay. It's a little background to this piece. It's a part of a novel that I'm writing right now. I'm going to read you the opening sequence and see what you think. How's that? Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay. You're kind of quiet, so I got scared for a second.
Just because you're talking. I'm not going to interrupt you, except for right now.
Okay. Oh, God, what did I do with it? All right. Here we are. Bear with me. I don't read my own work often. Gradually, I opened my eyes to see the water bug happily crawling into the corner. It kept hitting its head as if there was a hole. It skidded along the trim as if it had one too many. I looked around the room and recognized nothing. Where was I, and why was I here? Naked white walls encased me. A single window with closed blinds was directly across from me. An empty desk with a chair was by the door. Where did it lead? My head pounded like I'd been attacked by a legion of tiny men with hammers. I looked around the room to see where the little bastards went. It's one thing to attack me, but at least have the balls to face me afterwards. I felt cheated. To cap things off, I had an odd taste in my mouth, like I'd been French kissing a dump truck. My jaw packed with a peculiar melody of pops and cracks, and as I yawned, I rubbed my face and discovered a beard log past trimming. I sat up wondering what happened. I had a strong urge for a smoke, a cup of Java, and a little loving. However, by looking at my surroundings, I figured the first two were a maybe, and the last one was out of the question. But there was always hope. I heard a muffled scraping sound, like there was someone dragged across the floor, something metal dragged across the floor. I saw the top of my head, top of a head, and then two beady eyes speaking through a transom. Someone yelled, and then I heard a thump against the door as a peeping Tom jumped down. Fucking perv. And boom, in peace.
Oh, that was awesome. How far along in your novel are you?
About 7 chapters.
That's incredible. You know, you're a very versatile writer because your poetry is phenomenal, but you write really well. You write really well on your short stories that you've shared with me, on the books that you've written. I mean, you're just kind of like a Renaissance writer, and I think it's pretty amazing.
I'm just an old grumpy man with too much time on my hands now. That's all I am. How have you been?
I have been wonderful. It's so good to hear from you. What do you have going on now? You still doing the show?
Oh, I'm still doing the tour. We're on Tuesday nights. Do a little positive feedback, you know, try to help people out. Then I'm doing a little feature on each show about different artists from past, you know, we might do somebody like last week we had Chester Himes, who was a detective novelist from the 50s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Stuff like that. We try to do a little something different while we tell you that your poem is either horrible or you need to fix this or you fix that. And for those of you who's ever listened to my show, you know I never say your poem's horrible. We're completely serious people. We never crack a joke or a smile or anything like that of that nature. And if you ever listen to my show, you know that's a lie. But, however, we try to do a positive influence on the poetry community, I think. That's it. So, how are you? Oh, yeah, I guess you got already.
You sound almost shy like a little boy, and that's all, and it's okay. How are you? Oh, it's so good to hear from you, Mangus. It's been so long.
It's been like years since I started on your show, and, you know, I've got my own show now and everything, but I still get nervous when I come to your show.
Why?
I have no idea. I don't get nervous on anybody else's show. I don't even care. I'm like, whatever. But I still get a little goosebumps. It's wild. It's funny.
You know, you're not the only person that says that. I don't mean to be that scary.
Well, you stop doing that stuff. You know, it's okay to kind of level out, you know, right, scaring us and stuff. I feel a little miniature poets and writers. I don't know. You put a hex on us or something? What was that? Huh?
All right, babe. Hey, did you give your Facebook page for everyone?
No, I never give my Facebook page, but I will tonight because you asked me so nicely. All right. By the way, my name is Mangus Khan. Since for those of you who don't know me, and those of you who may not even care, but anyway, my name is Mangus Khan, and you can find me on Facebook. Yeah, you can find me on my website, Memoirs of Madness. Yes. And let's see. And what's that thing that Noreen coined? That word? It
Googleable.
Is Googleable. I am Googleable. Like 7 pages. It's amazing. It's crazy. Toss is the same thing, but it's like 7 pages of the same history. It's kind of cool. Or kind of pathetic, which way you want to look at it. I don't know. But here it is. But yeah, that's how you can find it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right, sweetheart. Well, I'm hoping it's been too long since you've been here. I'm hoping that you will come over and share more with us, please.
You know what? I would do kind of like Andy did, just because he's a trendsetter. I'm just going to copy him. I'll come back and read the next paragraph the next time I come. How about that?
That would be cool. I would love that.
You get the whole novel for free. I won't even make you buy it.
Just swap that Bluetooth of yours into shape so we can hear you better.
Okay, I'll just charge you next time. How about that?
That works. Huh? That works.
All right,
sweetheart. Thank you so much, honey.
All right, bye-bye.
Miss you. Bye-bye.
Miss you. Bye-bye.
All right, so we have area code 832, then we have Jared, and we have 901 and 608. Looks like the lines might be starting to work well. All right, so let's go ahead and get area code 832. 832, are you with us?
Yes, I am, and I'm selling Girl Scout cookies. Do you want some Girl Scout cookies, Lila?
No. Girl Scouts are secretly Vessin, and they're going to, what is it called, when they, like, vogel out and turn into, like, these little demon creatures that make you trade money for cookies. No, Girl Scouts are evil.
They got chipmunk teeth, though. They're so cute. They have chipmunk teeth.
No, they have fangs. You've never seen one in full Volga. I'm watching, guys. I don't ever watch TV, but I started watching online. I watched a couple episodes of Grimm, which is filmed in Portland, because someone told me I absolutely had to watch it because it's filmed where I'm from. And so I'm watching it. I know that building. I've been in that spice shop. I've been. Oh, they're in that coffee shop. I've been there. Oh, wait. They're up in there. Yeah, so it's cool. So I've been watching it. And so, you know, as soon as I saw the Girl Scouts, it's like, yeah, I got you now. I know what you are.
Oh, okay. Well, I think they're cute with their little chipmunk cheeks. I think they're cute. Little hairy cheek.
They scare me. I have a whole. Have you read my blog on Girl Scouts yet?
No. Is it on your page?
On
your,
my
Facebook.
It's in my notes, and it's a warning. So you need to go read it. And that will give you my feelings on. Or if we have enough time at the end of the show, I'll read it on the end of the show.
Okay. I'm gonna have a short poem then. My poem's gonna be really short. Boo 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 boo. It's finished. Boo 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 boo. It's finished.
Not. What'd you bring?
Well, hey. This is what I got going on. I got my first published poetry book. Only 30 poems, so it's gonna tickle your heart, tantalize your brain cells, and grab your woohoo. Woo-hoo-hoo. Don't grab your woohoo. So it's out, and it's CB. My first poetry book, CB. Charles CB Banks, that's me. Woohoo. Oh, I'm supposed to read something, so I can get out of here so you can read something. Okay. Here's a poem out of the book. It's called Fish Out of Water. Like a dish just washed. Dripping. So sad, flipping from for another. Fast. Not.
Did I lose you? You still there? Hello? Oh. See, we lost you, honey. You need to call back in. While we're waiting for him to call back in, let's go ahead and bring Jared. Jared, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
What do you do?
Hi.
So, I was actually going to read something different. And now it's not pulling up. Something going on with your phone lines there?
Oh, it's people haven't been able to get through tonight. It's been nuts.
Yeah, but now I can't figure out how to get my thing pulled up again. Hold on 1 second. Ah. Okay, you tell me something.
I just posted my Girl Scout story on my page, in case anyone's interested. Do you want me to go ahead and grab another person and then come back?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, baby, I'll be right back. All right, so next we have 901. 901, you're on the air.
Hello, Nyla. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm doing okay. This is Glenn. I don't know if you remember me.
I do. How are you doing?
Doing okay. The piece that I had to read for you tonight, it's called It. It's a very short piece. It's in no particular style, so I guess you could say it's free verse.
Okay.
Okay, here it goes. It may be a tad blurrier than life. It may be a pinch closer than death. Ironically, equality lies upon the cusp of an idea. It seems to be great reason for all things. A bubble supposedly invented as a means for survival. Be and let be. It does not matter. End poem.
That was phenomenal. You know, it's really hard to write something with a big impact with few words.
Yeah, it is. I studied, like, all the haikus I wrote in the past, and, like, I was thinking, like, I really, like, the haikus, they had, like, sort of a message, but they didn't dig deep enough, and it was kind of tough to write this one and, like, to make it as poignant as it was, in my opinion, because, like, I just, like, I wrote it and I was like, wow, I can't believe I wrote this piece. And I was like, wow. And this is the first time I actually shared it on a radio station, so I'm actually glad this could be the first one.
Oh, well, thank you, sweetie. I'm really glad that you were able to as well. Very cool.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So what have you been up to? How can people find you, all that good stuff?
I haven't been up to much. I've just, I just recently discovered I had a secondary passion besides writing. I wanted to get into DJing. And so I'm looking into getting turntables and all that, looking at all the different brands, and looking to go go to all the clubs in Memphis and study the crowd and music control, so I can study what gets the crowd moving and what doesn't. Like I didn't even realize before that like all the stuff that I did in the past kind of like was pointing to me being a DJ, but I'm glad I discovered it now. But you guys can find me my writing at www.glennmccrarypublications.blogspot.com, and you can also find me on Tumblr. Just look up Glenn McCrary and you'll be able to find some of my poems on there. And I also have a book out. It's called On. It's available at lulu.com, www.lulu.com/poetsexgod. And I am actually working on a new book called Experiments. It'll be coming out soon, so keep your eyes peeled. And my Facebook, you can find me at www.glennmccrary/poetsexgod. That is all.
Very cool. All right, baby, I'm so glad that you found time for us today and we're able to share that. And, you know, please try to come back more often if you can, okay?
Okay. Oh, it was my pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you later, sweetheart.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. All right, so let's go ahead and bring on our next Skype caller, and then we'll check back with Jared again. Skype caller, are you with us?
Oh, it's Luna again. I just managed to get back in. So,
hi.
I have no idea what happened.
I know. We lost your call. I was so sad.
So that was an awesome poem. I know I was supposed to.
A delayed reaction.
Well, I can't get in the chat room, so this was my only way.
So do you want to, did you want to read something else, or do you want to just hang out with me while we go through the rest of these callers?
It's up to you. I have other ones to read, or I can just listen. If you have other callers who haven't been able to get on yet, then take them first.
Well, we've got three that haven't read yet, so let's get them on, and then I'll bring, if that's okay, I'll bring you and Jared back on together to close out the show with me.
Sure.
Is that good? Okay. All right, so let's grab our next caller. One Sapien, are you with us?
Hey, Fuzzy Hermit in the Woods.
Hey, Fuzzy Wuzzy.
What's up?
Not a whole lot. You got me and Luna with you right now.
Okay, cool.
Or Luna and I.
Coming up a little. Yeah, more snow. Our winter's not over yet. Na 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 na.
That was a raspberry. Don't ask me how to spell it, but it was done very poetically. So what'd you bring for us, sweetie?
I told you it was a surprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that I dictated into my phone in January. I finally transcribed it. But I have to ask something or say something first.
Okay.
I'm wondering whether you or anyone else has ever recorded something, and when they've listened to it back, they've actually heard something that sounded like it was in a foreign language.
Every time I hear the voices in my head, they're foreign languages. Does that count?
No, I'm talking about when you actually record something and there's something there that you never said.
No, I would be scared, except for when I did my stalker poem. That was kind of creepy. But,
okay.
Yeah, everything said there I said.
Well, it sounded like a foreign language, and after it took me 3 days to transcribe it because I got interrupted a few times, and I think I finally figured out what it was. But there were three words that sounded like they were either, could have been French, Native American tongue, or maybe even Gaelic. I don't know. It was S-E-S-T, then the word in, and then the word hepia, H-E-P-I-A, is the weirdest freaking thing right in the middle of it. So it said Estinipia. So
when we hear that in the poem, we'll know why.
Well, I'm not going to say it because it's not really there.
Okay.
It's not part of it. So
if anybody knows what that means, they have to let us know.
Estinipia. Yes. And I already tried Googling it and couldn't find anything. But this has a lot of dramatic pauses in it.
So in other words, keep my mouth shut, right, until you say end poem?
You said that, yes.
Okay, I gotcha. I can read between the lines.
Okay. It's entitled Long Ago and Now. I remember years ago when I was a young child that I just wanted to go away. I just wanted to be left alone. I didn't want anyone around. That was probably 45 years ago. And with all the events that have happened through my lifetime, I never would have imagined that I would have ended up in that place. I've been alone, except for my wolf dogs, for over 10 years now. And there are some times when I cry because I feel alone. There are other times that I laugh because I don't care that I am alone. And there are times when I cry because of the goals that I wanted to achieve that I was unable to because of the drastic change in the road of my life when I was 29 and a half years old. I never foresaw that day coming. And now I sit here in my log cabin filled with my belongings, my wolf thoughts, my thoughts and my emotions. From now and some from years gone by that sometimes creep back in. And there are times when I think about you, that blonde-haired, green-eyed, beautiful woman who comes to me in my dreams. And there are times when I would sometimes feel like crying because I've never seen you in the flesh and I don't know whether I will before my earthly body dies. It's one of the only things I still care about. Except for my wolf pup. To touch your hand, to gaze into your beautiful eyes, to see your long, blonde, flowing hair, to smell that fragrance, and if we were fortunate enough to want to be together. I could feel your soft breasts press against my chest as I kiss the nape of your neck. And you tilt your head backwards and die. saying, don't stop. And I close my eyes and I try to picture in my mind's eye your beautiful face, your naked body in my arms, your legs wrapped around my hips, because I penetrated you. You're pulling me tighter because you want all of me, not just the shell that everyone else sees. And I want all of you to touch you deep inside, to touch your soul. And I so dream that you would be capable of touching my soul like no one ever has, and no one ever will. Even if just once, because I have forgotten what it is like to feel love in such a way that love that a man and woman share because they want to be together. They want to live together. They want to share their lives. They want to help each other to become better human beings, to create a family, to leave a legacy behind before it is our time to depart this earthly world. Oh, how I wish I knew your name so I could call out to you. Please come to me. I need you. Please come to me. Please. Because I need you. And I pray you need me too. And hope.
That was so beautiful and sad and sweet and romantic, and that was awesome, baby.
Thank you.
Just such a longing for human touch and that connection, and yeah, that was incredible. Luna?
Yes, it was. I was just in awe. I was just sitting here like nothing else was going on, so...
Yeah, absolutely amazing, sweetheart. All right, do me a favor, darling, and tell everyone how they can come find you.
You can find me by typing in Poetry in the Wind as one word, no spaces, in the Facebook search window, and you will find me. If you Poetry in the Wind in the Google box, I am Googleable, but the only thing you'll find is my mashed up Twerky Tweak MySpace page.
I don't know why that word makes
me
laugh.
If you're interested in reading some of my pieces, like From a Poet's Poet's Tomb, and I can't remember the exact title, but it's about a girl in a bar who's gone commando. You can find them, amongst others, in a book entitled Held, A Fusion of Brilliance, Volume 2, which is available on Amazon. It's an international anthology of writers from Canada, the UK, and the US, and was published in January of 2012. I was actually capable of multitasking there, so the link's chat.
It's awesome when you do that.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. As my former Tai Chi teacher would say.
Very cool. All right, sweetheart, are you going to hang out and listen for a while?
Well, I'd rather sit since I still haven't gotten a hang of, well, I haven't gotten the handle so I can hang on the ceiling.
I'm going to send you a swing that you can swing from the rafters and just sit there and hang that way or something.
It's not a, I hope it's not a swing with stirrups.
No. Unless that blonde chick brings it to you. All right, sweetie. We'll talk to you in a little bit, honey. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Nyla. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Luna.
Have a good night.
Bye.
You too. All right.
All right, so let's go ahead and see if Jared found his so I don't make him sit here all night long on hold. Jared.
Hey. Okay, I decided to read something different. Is that all right?
You can read anything you want.
Okay. Well, I wrote a blog back around the time that we first started writing together. It was in 2006. And I had just seen the King Kong movie. And I wrote this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Even the best fall down sometimes. The opening line to the chorus of Howie Day's song, Collide. That line was running rampantly through my mind watching the last scene of King Kong this past weekend. Even the best fall down sometimes. Even the stars refuse to shine. Perhaps the most emotional and memorable moment from a three-hour movie that was packed full of action was the final second when Kong's head drops. The life fades from his face, and he begins his 100-story fall from the top of the Empire State Building. In slow motion, in a free fall, while Anne, the woman who tamed his heart, watches in heart-wrenching silence. Even the best fall down sometimes. Even the stars refuse to shine. Out of the back you fall in time, and somehow find you and I collide. Redeemable qualities, they are what keeps me from having enemies in life. Not that I strive too hard to make those very enemies. I'd like to be able to say that I am just good or loving, or an accepting person, and for that reason I have no enemies. But it would be a lie. It's their redeemable qualities, something that makes them unique, something that makes them different, something that makes them special. If God could look down upon a world so corrupt, so full of inequalities, and still find something redeemable in it, even me, then I've always believed I can find some quality of love in anyone, a quality that allows me to appreciate and live in harmony with them. There are probably people who dislike me, maybe even who hate me, perhaps even define me as their enemy. But even though they should make my life at times possibly miserable, I strive to live in peace. For one reason, redeemable qualities. As a seemingly as an entire world stood by and watched, a giant beast, not even human, fell story after story to its untimely death. And the world cheered. Thousands of eyes saw King Kong the beast, but one set of eyes saw something else, a redeemable quality. And for all the hate, the destruction, the terror this beast caused, that one redeemable quality planted in the heart of a giant caused a woman to weep. Most saw the giant, one saw the heart. I didn't cry, although I could have. The seat next to me and the woman sitting in it was full of tears. I wouldn't have been ashamed to cry. Besides, theaters are dark for a reason. I was still moved emotionally by it, tears or not. Maybe I've been there before, with what seemed like the entire world looking on me, finding in me no redeemable qualities, my eyes searching for someone, anyone who could see a little deeper inside me and find my redeemable qualities. I remember the top of the world, feeling at my best, drawing a lot of attention, then free-falling into a slow and humble death, crashing and burning, pleading for someone to remember my redeemable qualities, falling from my best. But even the best fall down sometimes. If you can't see redeemable quality in someone's ability to, in essence, conquer an entire world yet suffer death in the pursuit of a heart of a woman, then you must be a robot, void of heart, void of emotion. I spent a while thinking about the producer of the movie. The movie could have easily climaxed in the conquering of a beast that reigned in terror, and it would have been a good movie. But the producer took it just a little deeper. He created a redeemable quality, something everyone could relate to, something everyone would understand, and in my opinion took a good movie and made it great. There's something about a larger-than-life supernatural being holding a finite being in the palm of his hand that is undeniably metaphorical. Except for one short scene where Anne sits on Kong's shoulder, every single scene that involves the two characters consists of Anne being tucked gently away from harm in the palm of Kong's hand. Love asked for nothing in return. Kong was pleased and enjoyed it when Anne danced and performed tricks for him. He even expressed his displeasure when she refused to do so. But he always loved her because he always protected her. It's ironic to me how throughout the movie, Kong saves the woman from danger even as she is running away from him himself. Sometimes in life, I run away from the very hands I know that are protecting me. But thankfully, I know that his love is far greater for me than my love for him, and he has saved me many times from myself. I try, but often I fail in life because even the best fall down sometimes. Without stretching the realm of practical symbolism too far, yet another scene from the movie struck me as ironic. In one of the early scenes, Kong and Anne enjoy a picturesque sunset together from a cliff overlooking the ocean. In this scene, Anne makes a gesture towards her heart and teaches Kong the word beautiful. What struck me was the utter reality that I could in fact believe that not only an ape could appreciate a sunset, but that it should. Why not? Something any breathtaking thing should appreciate. It's hard realizing this sometimes. Sometimes I think I can be a man above man, the one who finally breaks the mold, and then I fail and wonder why I can't figure out it's not my role that's designed to me. I can't play God and waste my time trying. I can love, but I can't hold in the palm of my hands. And even if I could role play better than anyone else on this earth, I would still eventually lose the girl, even if I was the best, because even the best fall down sometimes. End poem, or end blog.
You know, I don't know. I don't even know if I remember reading that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That was a long time ago, too. I'm old. I forget things. That was awesome. You know, it's funny you were reading part of that, and it reminded me about some conversations you and I have had about our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you went on, I'm listening to you read it, and you got to in the end where you're talking about, you know, even you're in the palm of his hands. And it was the whole relationship with God. And, you know, I love it when you blog. I absolutely, I mean, you're a phenomenal poet, first of all, you know, but as a storyteller, a narrative storyteller, you really excel there as well. I'm glad that you read that.
I know
that
there are things in this world that I can't control. And
I have to have faith in sometimes, realize that they're not under my control, and put it under my God's hands. You know, especially even this week, you know, there's just a lot of things I wish I could control. I wish I could make different, but I can't. I just have to trust and believe. So.
I know everything's going to be fine. I'm glad that you shared that. You're awesome, sweetie.
Thank you.
Lena, did you want to say anything, honey?
See, I didn't know if I was actually on air or muted or not, but, you know, I was just, again, I got lost. It was amazing because I didn't watch the movie, but I'm very familiar with the story. So what he picked out is exactly what I picked out in the story, and it is, you know, that the redeemable quality that you look for. So to me, that was awesome.
I think that if you can recognize in people what makes them special, there shouldn't be any reason why you shouldn't be able to get along with anyone. I like to think that I really don't have enemies just because I try and look specifically for what makes them unique, what makes them special. And that movie kind of pointed that out to me.
Very awesome, sweetheart. Hey, do you want to you tired of hanging out? You want to stick around longer, or you want to me put you back on hold?
Well, I actually do have to go pretty quick here.
I thought you might. That's why I brought you back on now.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But yeah, I actually have to head out to go and see my mom. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for reading tonight. It was really cool.
Great.
I love sharing you with everybody.
It was very nice to get to, you know, meet you.
Well, we'll definitely be in contact again.
All right, hon. Give your mom a hug for me. Tell her I love her and everything's going to be okay, all right?
I definitely will. We'll talk to you later on.
All right, call me later, all righty? Let me know how she's doing. All right, love you, hon.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Luna, did you have another one you wanted to read?
I have a couple, but I didn't, again, I wasn't sure if you still had other people that you wanted to bring on before me.
I've got callers to bring on still. Do you want to hang out with me while we bring those on, or do you want to read now?
I can hang out. I love listening, so whenever I can, I'm just
okay, well, you're
on telephone dial.
So go ahead and grab the next caller then.
All right.
Area code 832, you're on the air.
Well, hello, Girl Scout cookies still for sale. You got them? You can have them. They're fresh and roasted.
Nope. Only if it's the Girl Scout.
Well, you know, that's illegal. That's illegal to roast some Girl Scouts. You know, we can go to prison. We can go to prison
together. You know, I'm
going to
Google. I bet you there's a recipe for Girl Scout something. Girl Scout stew. I am.
Girl Scout stew. Man. Sounds delicious. No, I can't say that. Oh, wait.
Well, one of us will run a red light, and this is going to be brought up in court. This person wanted to eat Girl Scout stew. Oh, shit.
My legal name is Gudelinosaurus MMSD.
Yes, and I'm Fred.
Name.
Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, I'm Gudelinosaurus MMSD. You can call me Googlers. For sure, Google this.
All right, Google, what did you bring us tonight?
Oh, I'm just trying to finish that poem I was reading before. It's a quick poem, so y'all talented authors and poets, poems can continue. So I will continue. I'll start at the beginning. Fish out of water, like a dish, just washed. Dripping, so sad, flipping from one element to another, tragic, grasping for what's not there, Hell's on the way. Flip-flopping, hoping to catch a break. Hold still, wishing to fall in. What has been? Can't adapt to the new scene. From scales, legs and tails, I see. So just lay there. Stay here. Failed once, gave in. Now you're just fishing. A fish out of water. Fishing. Say where? Say where? What? End of the poem, baby.
I am not afraid to admit that I am more confused than when you started.
Say what?
But thoroughly entertained.
I said what? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You
know very few people who have as much fun in life as you do, and that is the truth.
I'm going to give you the biggest insult in the world. You grown Girl Scout. You grown. You stupid old grown Girl Scout. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that, Donna. I didn't mean that, Luna. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just a little bit. I'm just a little bit sorry. What's up, Robbie? I see Robbie in the chat. Robbie, baby.
Thank you. He's going to read tonight. That's exciting.
It's Robbie,
oh, that's
though.
That's Robbie. Robbie.
Robbie.
Oh, Robbie.
Yeah. Robbie.
Robbie, baby. Robbie. is he part of the Merry Men and with the Robin Hood and Mary Robert Robbie Mary Mary Robbie? No, I don't want
to
marry
him.
Robbie.
Your next
no.
All right, my love. Tell everyone how to find you, sweetheart.
Okay, there's many imitators. My name is Charles C.B. Banks, not a capital C, not a capital B. It's S-E-A-B-E. That's my initials. Charles C.B. Banks. You hear me? I'm talking with my tough guy voice. Charles C.B. Banks.
I'm going to have nightmares.
I'm on Facebook. Damn it. I'm on Facebook.
Lord help me.
I am not Googleable. You can't Google me. I don't want to be known. I don't want those FBI looking for me, baby.
You already told him how to spell the last name. You're fucked.
Damn it.
You're done for. Damn it. Sorry.
Damn it. This is the cousin. This is not to be. We're not supposed to be cousins. Hey, that's against the rules.
I said a potty word. Oops.
Stop that cussing, you hear me?
No, there could be Girl Scouts watching. They're going to come burn down my house any minute.
See, this is why I make my own cookies.
Exactly.
They're going to throw the raw cookies at your window. The raw car cookies, they're going to throw them at your window.
Oh, my God. All right, sweetheart. Thank you so much for calling in. My face hurts from smiling now. Pinching my cheeks. All right. We'll talk to you in a little bit, okay?
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, baby. Bye. Oh, my God, Luna. All right. So this is who we have coming up. This is the lineup for the rest of the show. We have 863 732, Robbie, 607. And then we have a 931 down there on hold. But they don't have their hand up. So 931, if you want to talk on the air, just press 1. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and grab.
Doreen.
on time. We're going to come get you after the next caller, because then you'll hear that we're going to come get you and you'll be ready. All right, 732. 732, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's Dennis again. You told me I can call back. I'm not holding anybody else up, am I?
Nope. We're going to do speed reading like we did, like speed dating. So I'm not
going to comment. Awesome. I'm really good at that.
Go ahead and get you guys on.
All right, perfect. I got one piece for you here.
Okay.
I'll just cut right into it. It's an angry poem because I've been laying off them, but here it goes. World of generations, the end is complete. And no, it's not about Girl Scout cookies. I am totally staying away from them.
Okay, good.
Awesome. Where's the magic of time before? Within the pages of historic folklore, these times we choose to ignore. Oh, this magic of time before, to believe in the hero, to pave the way, to feel secure as they save the day, but a mockery it's become, to our dismay. Oh, this hero no longer with us today. Where is the promise to hold in our heart, to hold tight, never to come apart, again and again to rebuild from start? Oh, this promise broken like the heart. Where's the strength behind the backbone? Never to fall, never to walk alone. Where's the pride to call this place home? Oh, the strength torn to the bone. Where's the magic of time before? When a leader speaks, that leader goes forth. This freedom we fought for, let's not choose to ignore. It's all in the land we built with pride, from the past with a vision and eye. But it needs a leader with passion inside, not one who leads with lies, then denies. This tragedy from within, this freedom of choice that we have been given, never asked to be forgiven. Oh, this tragedy we have to live in. World of generations, the end is complete. A race to the end at dominating speed. No more magic. There is no need. Now all is quiet. Now we can sleep. End poem.
Awesome. All right, let's tell everyone how to find you.
All right, once again, I'm Dennis, heavy metal poet from New Jersey here. You can get me on Crush Beneath Poetry off of Facebook. I got videos on there from YouTube, Crush Beneath Poetry on there. Twitter is welcome, follow me. If you want to email me at crushbeneathpoetry14@gmail.com. But pretty much just come on, see my site, meet me, greet me, you know, say hi, whatever, post your stuff, post my stuff, make fun of me, whatever you want to do. But anywho, I thank you for having me on once again.
Thank you, Dennis. We'll talk to you in a little bit, sweetheart.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so let's grab Robbie. All right, Lena.
Okay, but you got to call him Wobby.
I don't know about that one.
One of our Maui men in tights, Wobby.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say.
I told you I would have everybody calling you that soon.
I have two poems here, listening to your words and as I listen to your words. I'm trying to remember which one it is that I read here the last time. Does anyone happen to remember?
You know, the titles are so close, I couldn't tell you.
Okay, I'll go with as I listen to your words. I think that's the one that I haven't read. As I sit here, listening to your words, I close my eyes, listening to every stanza, every verse, nursing every moment like a precious gift to unwrap in due course and nurse. My hands start to ply their wares subtly, and before I know it, the power of your words, it causes them to roll into a place I didn't know existed, a place that you have offered. Ever since the day I first drew breath, my breathing becomes labored, exquisitely ragged, as my heart quickens its pace. My mind has become totally engaged with every word that you say. You lay the entire world out for me to see, and the universe unfurls itself as your flawless diction dictates the pace of my body's rhythm, and my thoughts flow effortlessly yours. what a gift it is that your words give me, to be able to touch that place inside myself, that place where you always did reside. But I couldn't imagine it any other way. For you see, your verbose verbiage, your knowledge of numerous nouns, that and that clever wordplay that only you can display, it plays with my neurons till the hymen of reality is spent and rent. I am left a spent puddle of ecstasy on the floor, your exotic erotic verse having penetrated my body, while your insightful contemplations of verse have penetrated my soul. As I listen to your words, I realize that I want to spend nights tugging at fistfuls of your hair, making you aware of my love, my passion for you in every moment. As I hauntingly whisper loving verse in your ear, but I let your verse set the pace, filling the universe with your soul and its wondrous light, as it creates the spaces where my verse can slip in between, slipping like bodies on a collision course of ecstasy. His body sliding and gliding promises the fulfillment of orgasmic dreams. I could never know such sweet pleasure as this, outside of what it is that your words give me. As I listen oh so intently to your poetic verse, and I let my body rock back and forth in the cradle of your words, feeling them reach out to me across the void, nestling me in their warmth as only a lover could, leaving me feeling set on fire with your passion, and ever safe in the arms of your love's words. And that is, as I listen to your words. And I've never taken a deep breath after I read a poem.
That was so endearing. That was beautiful, Robbie.
Thanks. Sounds weird, but I like being endearing through my erotica. It's like, you know, it's erotic, but it's erotic because I'm. Because
it's
I'm in love with the person or attached to them.
It's Romantica.
Yeah, it's Romantica. I have poetry that I'll never ever spit at the Speakeasy Cafe. Yes. Anyway.
Well, it was beautiful, sweetheart. Lena, did you want to add?
It was wonderful. It's always very, like, lyrical to listen to his reads. So
it is very.
I love them.
That's musician in me, I guess. And before I forget, there's one or two things I want to little announcements that I have. Aside from my usual poetry side, to try to make it quick. First of all, I'm going to be doing something new. I was inspired by SheTech. Otherwise known as Rebecca Hillgrave of Stillstream Music. She has a show called At Water's Edge. It's an ambient music show. And she's been doing broadcasts with her show, like video broadcasts on Ustream. So I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be trying to do that with my show, with the Speakeasy Cafe. And so that way I can give the link. And I don't even think you need an account, and people can, like, watch me on my webcam, and I'll be doing different things. Like, I'll be doing hand mudras with poems, or I wanna write and read a sensual poem about bodies kind of just like intermingling and twining. And I have I just turned them on as I came in. I have two lava lamps, so then I'll have them like going full blast, and then, you know, so I'll be reading the poem, and the webcam will be on the lava lamps, and so I'm gonna be doing that kind of thing. And also, someone here locally. Oh, I'm so excited! I hope this comes to pass. A local musician, a great saxophonist, and we're mutual fans. He's thinking to write a song for one of my poems. So I might have a jazz song written for one of my poems. Oh my God! I hope I get that.
Well, we hope you do too.
Yeah, there's been a lot. There's been a lot happening. I've got two songs that are going to be coming out to me, probably dedicated to me on a space music album, and also Hello Epiphany, the Day Profundus Net label. For sure, I'm going to be contributing another poem to their label as well. And I actually put in a submission to one of the magazines that you had pointed out there, Nyla.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be putting in one more. So I'm busy, busy, busy.
That's awesome. I'm glad you're submitting. You should be doing that.
Yes.
Very cool. And that wasn't meant metaphorically.
You know me so well. I was about to start saying in the chat room.
All right. And give your Facebook page again.
I'm still laughing. It's too easy, isn't it? I'm at Robbie's poetry page and on Robbie Baby's poetry page, and also I'm at Wix. And also is Baby one more of Amish poetry. I came in, I was going to say Boston, see, that's so freaking scatterbrained I am. Drumming. I just came in from drumming, and usually when I dash in like that, my brain's still discombobulating, so.
Okay.
How's that for a word?
That works. That works for me. All right, sweetie. I'm glad you made it in, hon. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, so let's go ahead and get on. I'm going to bring on 607 first because they haven't read yet, and then I'm going to go ahead and bring on Noreen. All right, so let's get 607 first, get the readers who haven't read yet. 607, you are on the air.
Hey, Nyla, how you doing?
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. Phone
good line. Hi, Nyla. Hi,
Erica,
sweetie. Hi, Erica.
Hi, honey.
So how are you guys doing tonight? What are you going to share? How's everything?
I'm doing wonderful, as usual.
Everything is lovely.
Awesome. So what are you guys going to share with us tonight?
I'm going to go first tonight. It's called When You're Around. I'm alone most of the time. That's the way I like it. Men that come to bars for happy hour are never happy. And they make me sick to my stomach with their average existences, their horrible stories, and mediocre minds. I don't care about your children. I don't care about your dog or your car or your job. I don't care that your wife doesn't fuck you anymore. I only care if you'll have a beer with me. Sitting alone on a bar stool in the compressed light is what I picture heaven to be like, if I believed heaven truly existed. Hell on earth does exist, however, and I know this because you just sat down beside me. It is now time to leave. I believe I left the bottle at home. That's the end.
Hell on earth exists because you just sat down beside me. I love that.
Thank you.
I think I've felt that every time I've gotten on an airplane, watched who came down the aisle. That was awesome, Jeff. That was short. That was short and awesome and sweet. Well, not sweet, but you know what I mean.
I was going to say sweet.
It was okay. Sweet for you, actually. I don't think I heard any cuss words in there. Who are you and what'd you do with my Jeff?
Oh, come on. I said fuck one time. I snuck a fuck in that for you. Just for you, Nyla. I put that in there.
Thank you, baby. So, all right, tell everyone how to find you, love.
You can find me under Jeffrey Lee Sibley on Facebook. And that's it. Okay, Erica, your turn, Stevie.
Okay, my turn. Mine's going to be kind of short, too. So I'm for rush for time. Okay. My nightmares haunt me almost as much as my dreams and aspirations do. So ready to take that leap, but still stuck on the platform. My muscles ache from teetering on indecision, refusing to commit to one side or the other. Fickle with life. Feeling the steady, even blaze of dying hope, feathered by little flutters in my heart that whimper, don't give up, keep the dream alive. But is it even worth it when we all go into the ground the same way? That's it. It's called mediocrity.
Is that in poem?
Yes. Yeah, that was it. It's called mediocrity.
That was amazing. I'm so glad that when you guys call in and tag team like that. You know, she called in last week without you, Jeff.
Two birds from one stone, you know?
Exactly.
Nyla, when I'm on the phone with you and Erica, that's not the kind of tag team I got in mind. You know what I mean?
Ha, ha, ha. Oh, well, what do I say to that?
Nothing. You just sit and blush. And I told you I was going to get you tonight.
You always make me blush.
I try.
But I thought it was pretty cool she called in without you last week.
I was sleeping.
That's what she said. But I thought, you make her like part of the family now. She's starting to do this all on her own, right?
Yeah, I'm so brave, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I'm very proud of her.
You've been proud of her.
Oh, I listened to the archives. I went back and listened.
Cool. All right, Erica, tell everyone how to find you, baby.
On writerscafe.org under the name Unique, UNEEK.
That is, I love that spelling. That is very cool.
Thanks.
That is very.
I love your haiku. I just read your haiku on Facebook. Gorgeous. I love it.
Thank you. I wrote that for a friend of mine who killed himself 2 years ago. And he used to always tell me that he would be waiting in the stars. And, it was one of those things, not if he did, but when he did type of thing, which is... He was not in a good place, so every once in a while when I go out and look at the stars, you know, there's that part of me that is hoping and wishing and grasping onto what he told me and remembering that he's there, so that's what that one was about. That one's a pretty special one to me.
But it was absolutely beautiful how you captured all of that in just three lines. Like, it was so, like, sweet and wishful, and then, like, with the word talent made it seem so sharp and, like, you know, like, urgent, like, you have to grasp onto it. So, that's beautiful.
Thank you. That was very sweet of you to say that. Wow, somebody read it. I'm happy.
I did. you have, like, at least, like, 28, 30 likes, something like that.
I better get over there. All right, you guys, I appreciate so much you calling in. Jeff, love you dearly. Erica, you're a sweetheart. I'm so glad you're part of our family now. And thank you. Thank you for making time to call in and every week and do this with us. It really is awesome for me to have you guys here.
It's such a fun time. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Love you, Jeff. Thank you. Bye, you guys. All right, so let's grab Miss Noreen. I bet she's waiting this time. Noreen, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Nyla. Hello,
hi, sweetie.
Luna.
We lost Luna. I feel so bad.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Okay. I have a real short one, too. And it's, I know I never read this one here before. And it's a really an older poem, too. It's called On a Cloudy and Wintry Day. Okay. It's cloudy and wintry today, but yet I see beauty in it. A pretty bluebird walked on top of the fence, then soared gracefully up in the sky. The bare trees, so pretty in its own way. The planes, soaring up high in the cloudy sky. Just to watch the scenery for a while, and you too can see beauty on a cloudy and wintry day. The end.
Aw, that's so beautiful.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, baby. I'm going to tell everyone how to find you again.
Okay, Gary has one, too.
Oh, yay, okay.
Has another one. Okay. Woo-hoo. Honey, teddy bear, my teddy bear. Honey, wake up. Uh-oh, honey. Teddy bear, my teddy bear, here you go. You're on now. You had one, you said, to read. Are you awake? Huh? You said you had a poem. She's waiting on you, Nyla is. You told me you had another poem. You got it? You got it? There you go. You found one? You said you had one. Okay, you got the phone?
Okay, I got the phone.
Okay.
Uh-oh, which one I was going to read?
I don't know.
Oh, you there, Nyla?
I am here.
Okay. I was going to read a poem, but I lost the one I was going to read.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we'll try this here when I don't have a name. It says I put the dogs on the not wanted list. They escaped from the yard. Can't find their mothers, masters. They're on the way, going down the road like bums on the street. Lost souls. Two mothers, five puppies each, end poem.
You always write short and sweet, my dear.
Yeah.
I loved
okay.
it. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Here you go, Noreen.
You're welcome. So is Noreen going to tell us how to find you guys again?
Okay. Hello, Nyla. Okay.
Hi,
honey. You can find you can find Gary at poetrypoem.com/Gary Snyder with two R's in it. And you can also find him on Facebook.com/Gary Snyder. And he's also Googleable and Googleable. Okay. And you can find me at ReverbNation.com/Noreen Ann Snyder, and you can also find me at Facebook.com/Noreen Ann Snyder, and I'm also Googleable and Googleable.
You are, baby girl. All right, okay. Sweetheart, thank you so much for calling in and reading again. It was awesome.
Okay, thank you.
You're
okay.
welcome. And we'll see you guys on Sunday?
Yes, we'll be there Sunday.
Okay.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Thank you, honey.
Goodbye. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, hi.
All right, everybody, you've been listening to the Speakeasy Cafe Open Mic Poetry Show, The Sound of Ink. Very happy to have had you all here tonight. It was an amazing show. Thank you, listeners and callers and readers. I am going to close the show with Neil Hilborn with OCD. You can find that on YouTube. That's Neil Hilborn, H-I-L-B-O-R-N. And we will see you next week. And stay inspired. Good night.
The first time I saw her, everything in my head went quiet. All the tics, all the constantly refreshing images just disappeared. When you have obsessive compulsive disorder, you don't really get quiet moments. Even in bed, I'm thinking, there's locked door yet, the watchman's yet, the locked door yet, the watchman's yet. When I saw her, the only thing I could think about was the hairpin curve of her lips or the eyelash on her cheek, the eyelash on her cheek, the eyelash on her cheek. I knew I had to talk to her. I asked her 6 times in 30 seconds. She said yes after the third one, but none of them felt right, so I had to keep going. On our first date, I spent more time organizing my meal by color than I did eating or fucking talking to her. But she loved it. She loved that I had to kiss her goodbye 16 times or 24 times if it was Wednesday. She loved it took me forever to walk home because there are lots of cracks on our sidewalk. When we moved in together, she said she felt safe, like no one would ever rob us because I definitely locked the door 18 times. I'd always watch her mouth when she talked, when she talked, when she talked, when she talked, when she talked. When she said she loved me, her mouth would curl up at the edges. At night, she'd lay in bed and watch me turn all the lights off and on and 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 off. She'd close her eyes and imagine the days and nights were just passing in front of her. Some mornings, I'd start kissing her goodbye, but she'd just leave because I was making her late for work. When I stopped at a crack in the sidewalk, she just kept walking. When she said she loved me, her mouth was a straight line. She told me I was taking up too much of her time. Last week, she started sleeping at her mother's place. She told me that she shouldn't have let me get so attached to her, that this whole thing was a mistake. But how can it be a mistake that I don't have to wash my hands after I touch her? Oh, it's not a mistake. It's killing me. She can find me away from this, and I just can't. I can't go out and find someone new, because I always think of her. Usually, when I step over things, I see germs sneaking into my skin. I see myself crushed by an endless possession of cars, and she was the first beautiful thing I ever got stuck on. I want to wake up every morning thinking about the way she holds her steering wheel, how she turns shower knobs like she's opening a safe, how she blows out candles, 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 blows out. Now, I just think about who else is kissing her. I can't breathe because he only kisses her once. He doesn't care if it's perfect. I want her back so bad. I leave the door unlocked. I leave the lights on.